this country has made you a humongous success. I mean, like, and then to get on here, and who are you talking to? You're talking to some white guy who's like a trucker who makes like, you know, 50K a year, and telling him about how, you know, like, oh, I know you may not like what I'm saying because you're just this evil person and I'm black woman. So, but, and it's like, man, fuck you. Like, fuck you. And fuck your husband for fucking destroying Syria, Libya, and Yemen. Tell me about the kids and fucking borders at the fucking facilities he built.
We're all living in America. America. It's wunderbar. We're all living in America. 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 We're all living in America. America. It's wunderbar.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. This is a great one. This is one that people look forward to every year. The 2020 State of the Union Address. It's not always called the 2020 State of the Union Address. Generally, we name it after the year. And this year, like no other, is 2020. So Dave, David, you might know, common name for Jews. I don't know if you know any. If you don't know any Jews, that's cool. I'm not upset. That's totally fine. You probably just didn't come across any. Or maybe you came across one, but you just didn't know. Because we're good at blending in. We could hide in places. Small attic spaces, crawl spaces. We had a crawl space when I was growing up. Like, it's not like a basement. It's just a crawl space. It's like downstairs, but it's just like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like behind... It's where Jews hide, is what I'm trying to say. That's the only way to describe it. It's where a Jew would hide. And that was the whole joke. One time I was in Cho Doc, Vietnam, a tiny town. And I was on a bus, and I joined up with a tour. I wasn't with him in Cho Doc, but I was there. I wanted to go to this. There was this, like, I guess like a floating forest, they called it. It was just like a forest in a river. It's pretty cool. I'll say the name. I generally don't like saying names of places, but like... No one's going to Cho Doc. Took me, 12 hours to get there from Ho Chi Minh. You're not going to Cho Doc. And you shouldn't. But I was talking to these two German girls and these two, I think, Canadian or German guys. I forget now. And they were talking about some guy that was weird. Somebody's son kept naming all the states in America. And then he was like talking about every time he saw fire engines, different type of fire engines. And he goes, the guy was just weird. And then the German girls were like, well, he was autistic. And he goes, oh, wow, I've never met an autistic person before. And we're all like, yes, you have. You just didn't know. What do you mean you haven't met an autistic? They're everywhere. Good times. So today, Dave Smith comes and talks to us about really America. We've been doing this since 2013. I found out. I asked him about it. Every year. And we go over generally. So Dave is a libertarian, which I sort of am. I'll call myself a bleeding heart libertarian. If you had to like name a party, I call it the get off me party. Leave me the fuck alone. Let me do my business. I'm not bothering anybody. So nobody should bother me. I'm a kind of guy who's like, why can't I set up fucking solar power in my home that I own? And the law is like, well, you can't. I'm like, oh, fuck off. It's my home. Why can't I fucking put, I want to put a rainwater collector up there. They're like, well, you haven't paid the taxes on the thing and you haven't done the proper verification to make sure. Fuck off. It's mine. I want to build a fucking water slide around my house. Why do I got to get you involved, Sam? Anyway, the point is, he came on to talk about America. Generally, we have one or two things to talk about. And then also in election years, as 2016 was, and now 2020, we have extra stuff to talk about. But this year... We got a few more things to talk about. What a year it's been. I mean, it seems like a lifetime already, doesn't it? It is fucking nuts out there, you guys. I was just walking here. New York is fine. They call it a war zone in the press. Do not believe that. But they have these outdoor seating areas. And Mexicans. I think it's Mexicans. Maybe it's me being racist. It might be Dominicans. I don't know. I don't know the New York Latino, the hard worker. They set up where the parked cars are. They set up these little wood-built enclosures, and they set up tables in there in between the sidewalk and where the cars drive. I pass this dude, and he's fucking pissing on one, his girlfriend. He's some drunk, and his girlfriend's like, go ahead, look. I'll make sure nobody's coming. And he just starts bending down to fucking piss. I was like, hey, dude, come on. Go to the park. He's right next to the park. And he goes, I wasn't doing it. He's like, it's a fucking neighborhood, dude. Be a fucking human. He goes, all right, relax. I was joking. And I'm like, all right, let's break it down. I'm not sure you were joking. And if it was, then I'm the fool. Your girlfriend would have had to be in on it to say, I'll look. Go ahead, I'll look. Because otherwise, who's the joke for? She's saying, I'll look. And then you're pretending to about to do it, but not do it. Or, other possibility, you're a fucking animal. You're a fucking drunk animal. Man, drunks, it's just you fucking, you few fucking drunks who give all the alcoholics a bad name. Handle your shit. Handle your drugs. That's my one message to everyone in the world. Don't not do drugs. Handle your drugs. Do it responsibly. And by responsibly, I mean not, don't embarrass yourself. I'm getting sidetracked because this episode is not about that, and it's a fucking long episode. But for real, it's okay to do mushrooms. You don't have to tell everybody, by the way. You don't have to make it a big fucking deal. Go to the bathroom, munchy munchy, come on back. You want to do coke? Go do coke. Go to the bathroom. You guys are actually cokeheads. You're way ahead of the game. You're never like, I'm going to, you go to the bathroom, come back. You make a few too many trips. You know what I mean? Why don't you, while you're in the bathroom, take a longer nail that you all have. Okay, here's a decent, fucking pack that shit in there. In one nail. And then later in the evening, you know, when your coke wears off and what is it, 20 minutes, and you're like, instead of going back, just go, I got to pick my nose. Ah, getting a booger. Ah, getting a booger. Ah, yes. You know what I mean? Think it over, cokeheads. I don't want to tell you to do your business. You're way ahead of me. So Dave is a libertarian, which means he's not Republican and he's not Democrat. So on the politics side, he's able to stay even-keeled. He doesn't like one group or the other. He does live in a liberal bubble of New York, although now he's moved kind of outside New York, so he lives in a less liberal bubble. I found, too, there's a new party. Like it's like a third and fourth party where it's like liberals and conservatives, but they hate the overboard liberals and conservatives, so they're anti-liberal liberals and anti-conservative conservatives. Still formulating this idea. The point is, that guy should have gone across the street and pissed in the park. I think we can all agree on that. I say we should start the episode in a second. I don't know if there's anything else I got to tell you. I would follow Dave Smith. He's got his own podcast called Part of the Problem, where he discusses politics all the time. I'm going to tell you, you should he's on Legion of Skanks all the time. He recently lost an election. For president of Legion of Skanks, someone else won. It was me. And follow him on, don't follow him on Twitter, at Comic Dave Smith. Don't. Get off Twitter, you guys. The virus is in there. Get off Twitter. It's a horrible place. And you'd be like, oh, you're on there. I'm not. I got off in like June, July. Yeah, I was like, fuck it. Every part of me is like, well, I built up 500,000 followers. I should like cash in off that. Or, nah, it's just gross. So get off Twitter. He's on there, our Comic Dave Smith. I don't know how much he's on there, but I would tell everybody who listens, get off there. It's filling you with a horrible negativity. So here's the deal with this year's part of the problem. This year's State of the Union address, 2020. Too much shit happened. Too much fucking shit happened, you guys. So what are we supposed to do? We did 3 hours. I'm letting you know right now. We did 3 fucking hours on this, and we didn't get to anything. No, I wouldn't say we didn't get to anything. We covered some stuff. Look at my notes. We covered some stuff. COVID, what he thinks the response should have been, some Black Lives Matter stuff, and a little bit of like the media. And then we just ran out of time. It was 3 hours. We had to go do Legion of Skanks. So we're like, should we go and take this Zoom recorder that I dropped that I got to buy a new one? I'm fucking everything. It's extra cost. Join my Patreon, by the way, everybody. Patreon.com patreon.com/AriShaffir or patreon.com/skeptictank. Either way, they point to the same place. The point is, join up, $5. I give travel blogs once a month or so. And I do, I mean, audio travel blogs. I call them plogs. I use a picture and I talk about where that picture was taken. Dating, sex, fun advice. What else do I do on there? I don't know. Oh, I know. A mailbag. I answer mailbag questions. And then arrest stories. I have a bunch of different podcasts on there. Patreon.com/skeptictank. Also, patreon.com/sixandjump. Separate one is where the video for Six and Jump podcast will live from now on. Still available on audio. Check out Six and Jump, the podcast I do with Dan Soder and Big J Okazan, where we talk about every single episode of 21 Jump Street. Also, yoga I do on here, too. I got a lot of shit on this fucking YouTube page. YouTube.com/AriShaffir. But that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, we got through half of what we were going to get to. And I was going to take this thing. The back falls off too easily now. See? That's the issue. If you're on YouTube, you would see that. It just falls right off. So I got to get a new fucking Zoom. So that's another $600. That's what the Patreon money is going for. Upkeep. By the way, I'll be in New Jersey at the Stress Factory October 10th weekend. I think the 8th, 9th, 10th, or the 10th, or the 9th, 10th, 11th. Maybe the 8th through 11th. Get tickets now, and I'll do all 4 days. Tickets are available at AriShaffir.com, which means I have to go update my website right now. So we got through a bunch of it, and then I was like, Dave, we didn't get to politics yet. We didn't get to fucking 3 hours. We didn't get to politics. We didn't get to what else we got? How divided we are as a country. Biden, Trump, the state of the media we didn't really get to. What's going to happen with the fucking Ruth Bader Ginsburg seat? Cancer culture, QAnon, Julian Assange. I don't know, man. We have a lot left to get to. And we didn't get to it. So we're like, let's walk the Legion of Skanks and do it while we, you know, hold two mics. But then we're like, dude, actually, fuck, this isn't good enough. And so we're going to do a two-parter this year because too much shit happened. We waited till Biden picked his we talked about this a month ago. We're like, let's wait till Biden picks his running mate so we can talk about the election in full. And then a bunch of shit happened in that time. More to talk about. So it's a two-parter this year, you guys. Takes me an extra 3 hours of work. The second part might be only 2 hours. Or it might be an extra 4. But you guys benefit from hours and hours of free content. Please subscribe to the RSS feed. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. And do me a favor. Tell fucking 8 friends about this podcast. And make it so I can make some extra cash on advertising. Here or there. But without further ado, let's just start the fucking episode, you guys. Let's just start the episode. I've said everything I got to say, right? I've talked about the Stress Factory in New Jersey, October 9th, 10th, 11th, or whatever. Talked about my Patreon, about how Sixth and Jump is over there, too. Not on my Patreon, but a separate one. I guess that's it. Let's start. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of my favorite podcasts every year that we do. I believe, actually, that this is the podcast, the 2013 one, or the 2012 one, or the 2014 one. They got Rogan, Joe Rogan, popular friend of mine, who recently made a deal with a music streaming service where you can play an entire album for free, called Pandora. At Pandora, all you got to do... What if I start? Is Pandora even around anymore? They had to have changed their business model, right? They had to have changed their business model from you pick an artist, a musician, and we will play everything like that musician, and then maybe in 4 hours we'll play one song from that musician, to Spotify. What they're doing is like, yeah, just play the song you're looking for. But this is not an ad for them. Every year, it's one of my favorites. So let's start, you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 401, the 2020 State of the Union podcast, part one, with Dave Smith, starts now. Oh, and I do have an ad this week. I do have an ad. It's for Yo Kratom, everybody. Yo Kratom. If you don't know, Yo Kratom, you know, do you guys know what Kratom is? I sort of do. It's drugs. I mean, there's no way it's not drugs. Oh, this is only for people over 18 or 21. whatever they're legally allowed to say. 21, okay. 18-year-olds, not welcome. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. A full kilo. Kilo to me sounds like a fucking one of those bricks of white powder. Isn't that a kilo that they have in all the in the cocaine movies? Guys, listen, I'm all about drugs. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little embarrassed. I have not tried Kratom. Actually, that's not true. I did try Kratom once in like a drink. It was a Kratom drink. I don't know who made it. And between that and weed and some alcohol, I almost passed out. So you know it's a good drug. So you know it's a fucking legit good drug. If it can make you fucking pass out the way I will on mushrooms or heavy weed edibles. No, I don't ever pass out on mushrooms. But I have passed out on weed. Fucking hit the ground. Just walking, talking, and then just glasses nearby me on the floor. And Kratom is fucking drugs, dude. So I'm a fan. And thank you, Yo Kratom, for sponsoring me. YoKratom.com supports this show. If you're into Kratom, I don't know if you are, but if you're into Kratom, go over there and get it. It's a $60 kilo. How much is a fucking kilo? It sounds massive, but it's probably like, yeah, it's like a pound? What's a pound? Is a kilo like a pound? Shut up. I got to take that. So let's start the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 401. Don't forget. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. It's Robert Kelly. Hey, dude, I'm doing the end of my podcast intro. Yeah, let me call you back in a second. Do you have something to say to these people?
You doing your podcast intro right now?
Yeah, right now. You're on it.
Oh, like oh, Shabbat Shalom.
That's not Shabbos. I'll call you back in 2 minutes.
Shabbos 2 days ago. What the fuck?
I know. It comes around and comes around over and over again. It never stops with Shabbos.
Nice. All right. I'll talk to you later. Call me back soon. Hurry up.
Okay. Hey, let me ask you a question real quick.
Sure.
Did you... Okay.
Yeah.
When do you think stand-up is coming back for real? And I hung up on him. That's what you do, everybody. What you do is you ask a legit question that's going to get them really talking, and then you just hang up. And so they're just talking and talking. And by the time it's your turn to talk, you're gone. You're like, they're like, what do you... There he is. Hello? I'll call you back in a few minutes. That's how you know he's a good guy, because he gets the joke. I love it. All right, you guys, let's start. Archer vs. Kevin, episode 401, the State of the Union Address, part 1, 2020, with Dave Smith. Starts. No. Hello, everybody. Hello, David.
Hello, sir.
Sorry. It's already not going to be taken seriously because of that.
Whatever comes next, you're like, wow.
Do you need to borrow this tonight?
Yeah, sure. I guess.
Okay. It is weird when you forget it, and you're just like, ah, shit.
I'm like,
oh, I can't
now.
Be in a store. Oh, should I get out of here? Yeah, it's just strange.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like when you go to shake someone's hand or something like that, and you're like, oh, but you have to understand, for all of human history, I'm being the normal one.
Mm-hmm.
but I guess not now.
Can you imagine the first time like a cough was proven to cause a cold? And before that, you're like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. And this is the day after that, like, oh, dude, we don't really cough in our hands or shake hands anymore. Like, why? Like, the sniffles and stuff? Like, that's associated with cough?
Yeah, and you probably didn't get the information for a long time. You go, that's the clouds.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, we're off that one.
No, they're saying it's like a cough now. Like, I heard the hoax. That's just King Mbutu saying.
Oh, that's fake news. It's basically right. Things were always the same.
They're always. All right, so how many of these have we done?
I believe we've done since 2013.
13, 14, 15. Really?
I think so. I might be wrong about that, but I think so.
Wow. I'm going to turn your mic up a little just because I see it.
Sure. Well, I talk soft, but then I might get agitated at one point and start screaming. So who knows?
I'll just lower it. 2013, I think you might be right. It was right after I had moved here already, right?
Yeah, you were living here.
Yeah, I came in 2012. Yeah.
It was you at your old place.
Which one? All the way upstairs?
I don't remember, but it wasn't the fucking... It was the place that was like... Yeah, I remember there was like fucking living room and the bedroom off of that, but no yard. It wasn't... Whatever the place was before you lived at the 12th Street one.
Yeah. Living room with a bedroom. Yeah, yeah. It's either the one.
I guess that wasn't a great description of an apartment. There was a living room and then a bedroom.
Still just narrowed it out to the other two places I've lived. I don't know.
It was one of those.
Well, this year will be different because now, I mean, obviously, if you guys don't know, well, I set it up in the intro that I'll do later. But this year is different than most years because now we both have some experience running for office. So
that's why this year is different.
That is the only reason this year is different.
Of all the things that makes this year different. But yeah, well, I guess you're right. We both have some experience.
Yeah, I myself has served in public office now.
That's true. And I, in true libertarian form, came in third place. So that is, we've all done exactly what was expected.
How excited are you still that you didn't come in fourth?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm pleased. Yeah. I'm pleased about that, for sure.
We had our first Sober October challenge, it was like a real like workout. I'm like, I just don't want to come in last.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Something about last. Oh, Jay was borderline suicidal after
that.
He
really
was. But, you know, I
justifiably.
Think yeah, absolutely. I think he's recovered, though.
So, dude, I mean, let's just start because like we have limited time because we could go probably 6-7 hours.
Yeah,
I mean,
this year, and like you said before, we've been doing these since whatever 2013 or something like that, and this was the first one where I almost felt like a weird pressure, like doing it, like when you were like were texting me like, okay, we got to do this now. I'm like, oh shit, well this is a fucking year. Like I got to fucking, if I'm gonna break down this year, I got to really fucking like think through exactly what I want to say about it because this was a year that was. I mean, it's by far the biggest year for our nation that in my lifetime, maybe not yours. You're very old. You were around for Pearl Harbor was a big year. And
I'm like 7 months older than you.
But what is it? I mean, you'd have in my lifetime, you'd really have, I mean, 2001 with 9/11.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
2008, the financial, recession, the financial, you know, fucking meltdown.
Yeah.
But really, none of that compares to what this year was. This is something completely different. It's how fucking crazy this year is, right? That for the third time in American history, the sitting president was impeached. And I bet that's not even on your mind.
It was not
of
on my
things
mind.
To talk about.
It legitimately was
year.
Not on my mind.
Like, that's a huge fucking thing. And that's not even like on any. I mean, technically, he was impeached. I guess the articles were filed in December of last year. But that was going on this year. And that's not even like a thought of what, like, one of the things to cover
of what we're doing here. No, not even. I honestly forgot about that.
Yeah,
because it was so it seemed like such a nothing impeachment. Like, this is definitely not going anywhere, so why are we just doing this for a gesture?
It was utterly ridiculous. And there are, I mean, from my perspective, there's a lot of things you could try to impeach Trump for, but to say it's not even like they had him on the quid pro quo, or that's what they would say, like, which basically just means something for something, which politicians do all the time.
Everybody does that. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's like what politics are. But that's any country we give foreign aid to, there's like strings attached. But what they were saying was that, well, he wasn't just doing something on behalf of the country.
he was trying to get something for himself personally. But the problem with that is that, well, number one, you could pretty easily argue that he was doing it for the country.
What was the thing?
He was trying to get them to investigate Joe Biden and his son.
And his son.
But if the former vice president and his son were guilty of something, you could certainly argue that that's not just for Trump. That's also for the country. But besides that, the real problem was that he never made the deal. So they had him on attempting to make a deal that then you'd have to argue was in his interest. It was all the whole Ukraine gate thing was just complete fucking bullshit.
It seemed when that happened, it came right off the heels of Russiagate. And then there was like, oh, we've really look, I don't know as much as you do, but like it seemed like we got something, we got something, we got something. And then the last few months, it was like, hey, I think we got absolutely nothing. If they did anything, it was on their own. Kind of like where they tried to blame 9/11 on Bush. And then they're like, it wasn't Bush. They're like, but it still might have been a setup. Like, yeah, maybe, but it wasn't by Bush. And they're like, all right. So that just dropped. Maybe Russia and got involved. But it wasn't like they did some deal in a garage or anything. And then as soon as that dropped, they're like, how about this? Maybe we got it for this. And it was like, you guys just seem like you want to.
Seems like you just want to get him for something at this point. And, I mean, we talked last year a lot about the Russiagate thing. And so I'd say listen to that for like, my take on that. That whole thing was fucking bullshit. It was all a setup. It was, you know, like, at this point, all the information's out. If you care to look into it, like, that whole thing was bullshit. And the Ukraine thing was just, like, a desperate stretch. And the truth is that most people like look at a situation where, okay, when Joe Biden was vice president, he was basically in charge of the Ukrainian policy. That was one of the things Obama put him on.
Yeah.
And his fucking kid is working for this huge fucking energy company in Ukraine, getting paid like, I forget what it was, like $300K a month, some ridiculous fucking thing. And you're like, really? The guy doesn't even speak the language. He has no experience in the energy sector. This is so obviously an attempt to buy access.
It'd almost be like if you just randomly get a judge on your case, and he's like, "Oh, actually, I went to school with your uncle, so I can't be part of this case."
Right.
So, like, even if he got the job by himself, it's like, "Hey, I can't. I'm not allowed to do it anymore because Dad just got this job. So, Dad, you either got to stop or I got to stop." But it looks too bad. If it was on the level, which there's no way.
Now, truthfully speaking, you know, Trump probably committed like a faux pas in the fact that he asked this guy to investigate the Bidens. You're not really supposed to do that. But for it to be like, no president ever has been impeached and removed from office. Never happened in the country. And to say you're going to do that to this guy for this crime when like, I mean, the crimes that presidents have committed throughout the history of this country are like, I mean, just the last three. You know, like Bush instituted torture and lied us into wars, and Obama built a spying apparatus to spy on every American citizen. And Trump's continued all of these fucking wars, and it's like this is the thing that you're going to try to do this over.
It seems like impeachment. So in South Korea, they protested every day for I think like hundreds of days against their leader, who was taking spiritual advice from a guru and letting that dictate policy. She was great for a little bit, and then she went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and it was like we gotta get rid of her. They rain, shine, they never stopped protesting until eventually like get her out of office. But it wasn't so much like you did this illegal thing. It was just like, hey, you're doing a bad job, and we want you gone, and we don't want to wait 3 years for you to be gone. We've all decided we hate the job you're doing. A vote of no confidence, whatever it is. But it's like, that seems like that's what impeachment should be. And we have it as like, you have to break one of these specific rules.
Yeah.
All right. Come on. Stop. Stop. You're ruining art.
Who is it?
Robert Kelly. He doesn't know any of this stuff.
Of course. The fucking impeachment process was, I would have said I think it backfired on the Democrats, but honestly, so much happened since then.
It didn't. Nobody cares,
it's
right?
It's just erased from the memory.
So let's start with this, because this is a state of the union and not just state of politics, right? And we've been covering some years as political, election years of 2016, it was probably more.
I listened back to part of last year's the other day, because I try to, you know, make sure I don't say like this, go over the same exact shit. And I said at one point, I go, well, next year we'll have like a great one because it's an election year.
And that was like what I thought. Well, I mean, next year, obviously, it'll be a big year because it's an election year. And again, that seems like one of the smaller details of 2020.
I'll tell you. So I started doing stand-up again, you know, after months off. My, I believe my longest break, March, April, May, June. Close to my longest break ever. And I was like, had this thing where I talked to some of my friends about it. Like, what material are you guys going to do when you get back? And they're like, old stuff. And I'm like, yeah. And I get it if you're on the road, like, selling out a show. Like, we just want you to entertain us. But I'm like, if you're doing a spot where it's not your show, I'm like, I'd feel like a fraud if 4 months later I still had stuff about holding the subway door open. Yeah. When I'm like, oh, also, there's no subways right now. And Black Lives Matter has happened. The whole world has gone down under this fucking virus. So it took me like 4 or 5 or 6 sets, like over like a month, to be like, and then now I can do an old joke again.
Sure, yeah.
So much has happened. Even though Black Lives Matter is not like this year, actually, it started years before under Obama, but like it's different. Yeah.
It's different now.
Yeah.
It's different. It's a much bigger thing. There was never like mass fucking protests, riots, fucking like there. It's a whole different level. But I guess we should start with the fucking
COVID. That's the overarching.
Because that's what changed everything was this year in fucking, I mean, January and February were somewhat normal months.
Pretty nice.
In hindsight, really nice. Pretty,
people are like, worst year ever. It's like, they keep saying that. I'm like, I think you're just looking for the negative and everything. Because like most years you look back, you're like, it was great.
Well, look, I mean, well, yeah, I guess. Well, it gives you some perspective, right? Like it's amazing how much like, 2019 to me felt like, oh, this is a crazy fucking year. And when we were doing the podcast last year, like I was talking about all that shit, and it's like, yeah, dude, this was fucking crazy. There were accusations that the president committed treason, and then they all fell apart.
Treason.
And then you found out this happened, and any of the other shit we were talking about seemed really important. And now this year, you're like, oh, what a simpler fucking time. What a simpler fucking time. Like, this is different than anything. There's like, you know, the country has been profoundly changed and in a way that will not be undone. Like in the same way, like after 9/11, you know, there was like almost this feeling of, okay, so when do we go back to normal? Like when do we go back to, and people were terrified, if you remember right after 9/11, of another 9/11 style attack. Yeah. That was the big fear. Now that fear goes away. None of us are really thinking about another 9/11 style attack. I mean, maybe some people are, but the vast majority of us are not living in fear of that.
Right.
However, the fucking
TSA is here to stay.
The TSA is here to stay. The Department of Homeland Security is here to stay. The wars, as a response, seem to be here to stay. So it's like, no, we're not going back. When you give the government a tremendous amount of additional power, so Milton Friedman said once, there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program. Like, if the government takes power, it's very, very hard to roll it back. And usually, even if you roll it back, it's like they start at 0, they go to 10, you roll it back to 7. But you're still 7 higher than you started with.
Because when you think about it, let's just say, like, we started these wars to get the guy who attacked us, Osama bin Laden. And it took 10 years, almost. Then we got him, it should be like, okay, we're all disbanded.
Yeah.
It's like who's the gladiator where he's like, oh, I killed whoever, so now let's go back to farm life.
Right.
I'm done with this thing. Rambo, he just time to go back on the road.
Yeah.
I've done this. I'm not going to keep
government
killing.
Never does that.
Yeah.
They don't go back to the time before it. Whenever there's like an emergency situation, they grab new power, and then when people who have
why would
power
you give back? Yeah,
it's not like, incentivized to give it up.
Let's just hold on to it a little bit. I was hoping because now you can drink in the streets. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was talking to my friend from England. Who
is that true? You just can drink on the streets, or they just won't bother you?
So I was like, they can't go back. They can't change the law back. And then it was pointed out like they actually didn't change the law. They just stopped enforcing the law. So if they wanted to change it back, it would be a hard problem. But it's still illegal to drink
on
the streets.
Right.
They're just like, we got bigger shit to worry about. So they're not going to give it back. So what were you saying in terms of like now with that?
Well, I mean, look like the amount of power that's been seized by the government in the last or since March is unprecedented in America. I mean, not to say like obviously there were, you know, I mean, we had slavery in this country at one point and we've had military drafts. And so they certainly have violated freedom of groups of people, you know, in a serious way. But to have Americans watching TV every day to listen to your governor
to see if you're allowed to go to the park, allowed to go to the store, allowed to see your friend. I mean, literally dictating every inch of what you are allowed to do is something that's never happened in modern American history. I mean, there's nothing to compare.
The closest thing I can remember from my life is really just like, if it's snowing, you stay up and watch until like we're off school tomorrow.
Yes, right. Something like that. But this was everything. And this isn't children. This is adults being told what they're allowed to do. And to insist that Americans have to give up everything. I mean, like that it's like, no, you are not allowed to go to your wife's sonogram. You're not allowed to go to your father's funeral. You're not allowed. I mean, like things that are like really profound, important things in people's lives.
Oh yeah.
That's
they're doing like Zoom say goodbyes.
Yeah.
For people who are saying,
really.
I mean, it's obviously very extenuating circumstances.
Sure. Well, yes, I agree. But I would say that one of the things that really I find to be like a troubling aspect to all this is that even with really like the Constitution's dead and nobody fucking follows the Constitution and like, you know, there's
and they always point
things.
To it like that's not Constitution. Like, yeah, so is everything.
Right. Like nothing. If we enforce the Constitution, probably about 80-90% of what the government does would be abolished.
Dude,
like,
they always say this to me. It's like when I write, you know, have dosed people in the past and they're like, that's illegal, you should be in jail. Do you like doing illegal stuff? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I graffiti like all the time. I paint over ads and I steal. I do drugs. What do you mean? Think this is what I care about?
Yes, it is a different law. Yeah. It's not a law you usually break. But there's that, right? And you could certainly make a strong argument that like the wars are unconstitutional, that Obama's spying was unconstitutional, all this stuff. But they almost always at least try to use some rationale. Like they have some, well, here's why. You know, you say, oh, the Congress never declared the war in Iraq. And they go, yeah, but they did
just a battle.
Write a letter of authorization or write. They'll say things like, they'll be like, well, this wasn't a war. This was a military activity or so they try. But with this, which was just clearly unconstitutional, I mean, you don't have to be a constitutional scholar to be like, well, obviously the government can't do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally read the First Amendment and then tell me how the government has a right to close down a church. But like, you clearly don't have a right to this. And they didn't even attempt to justify it. Like, it wasn't even like, they were just like, well, whatever, we're scared, and we want to stop this virus. And the, you know, there was one, Governor Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, he was on Tucker Carlson's show, at one of the only times at the height of all this, I believe it was in April, it might have been in May, it was, you know, at the height of lockdowns. And it was like one of the only times, you know, you see the governors on TV all the time, but it was one of the only times someone gave him like a tough interview.
Yeah.
And he said to him basically this, like what I just brought up. He goes, well, where do you like get the authority to tell someone that they can't go to church? Because there was an instance of like some people had been arrested for going to church for that. And he goes, well, how can you arrest someone? I mean, look, here's the First Amendment. How can you arrest someone for, you know, practicing their religion? This clearly violates the Bill of Rights. And Governor Murphy's response was, we weren't thinking about the Bill of Rights when we did this. That's above my pay grade. I'm listening to the doctors. And, okay, even if you completely believe that this was the right thing to do for the virus, like, even if that's your argument, which is debatable, but if that's what you believe, okay. But don't you still, like
follow protocol?
If there was a virus, right, that was going to kill 100 million Americans.
Yeah.
And the only way to stop it was to institute martial law.
Yeah.
You know,
example.
Wouldn't you still, even if you think it's the right thing to do in the circumstance, be like, yeah, that's a real danger. That's a real danger that we just gave the government the authority to say, you know what? Screw the Bill of Rights because I say this is worse. Like, I'm just saying, and look, I should disclaim because I try to do this every year on the State of the Union. Obviously, like, I always say, like, at the beginning, like, look, I'm a radical fucking libertarian. That's my perspective on these things. And I say it half to kind of give you where I'm coming from, but also to just like be honest about my bias. Like, I certainly have a bias in all of this, but I think that is some fucking really creepy.
I would say
shit.
It's a bit. So you said it, explained it to me really well once, where you're like, if I'm not infringing on your rights, then I can do pretty much whatever I want, you know. And so then some like in between rules are, can I throw a party in my apartment? And you're like, yeah, sure, that's fine. But then someone lives upstairs, so you are kind of infringing on their ability to whatever. you know? So this is not just like, it feels less like you got to wear your seatbelt and more like you can't drive drunk.
Right. So, right. So there are gray areas where you might say like, okay, it's debatable whether or not you're infringing on someone else's right. So like if you fucking have COVID and you're like, well, I'm just going out to mm-hmm. a fucking party, you know, like knowingly or unknowingly, is that infringing on their rights? It's like, okay, there's some debate there, but truthfully, if you were to follow that to its ultimate logical conclusion, then, you know,
any danger.
Well, like, I mean, the flu kills fucking people. Like, so does that justify now taking away all freedoms from people every flu season? And don't, I know you're like not allowed to compare COVID to the fucking flu or, you know, like that's like a trigger for people. I'm just saying, like, as a logical analogy,
you look at the crazy examples, like, or the extreme, you know, examples to be like,
right. Yeah. To say like, okay, so obviously there's got to be some reasonable line drawn. And like, COVID is bad. It's a fucking really nasty virus, you know? It's probably three times worse than the flu. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's still like to say, okay, we can shut all of this down over the virus is a dangerous game. And I think
some of it
speaking, it's not really clear. What's clear from what happened from March on is that this was a fucking novel virus that really nobody was an expert in.
Right.
And
they were trying to figure it out.
They were trying to figure it out and they made horrible mistakes.
And it was the whole world.
Huh?
The whole world was doing it.
Oh,
you're seeing bodies pile up in Italy and you're like, hold on, we got to do something, because if we take forever in bureaucracy, then there's a good chance we're going to be right where they're at.
But one of the things that was really creepy to me going back to March,
learning like, more later is something else. Sure, but in the moment, we're like, what do we got to do here?
Sure. And honest mistakes are made, you know, and lots were. But one of the things that was really creepy in March was how quickly it all happened. Like how quickly Americans
wasn't it crazy?
Would give up this whole thing and just go, okay, well, we're scared. You told us to be scared. Let's fucking do whatever you tell us to do. And I guess to be fair to Americans, they were also lied into this. Like they really kind of got conned into this whole thing. What we were all told was we need 15 days to flatten the curve. So the argument that started this, it really reminds me of
It really was. It was a different thing early on. We're like, flatten the curve so that the hospitals won't get overwhelmed.
That was the
whole justification. So if you get into a car accident, we have a bed for you.
Right. That was the whole justification.
Yeah, and then
okay?
It changed.
It wasn't – this was just to me – it reminded me so much of the war in Iraq where they went, the guy's got fucking nuclear weapons and he's working with Al-Qaeda. So what do you want to do? You got a guy who's got weapons of mass destruction. He can hand them off to Al-Qaeda. And then instead of 9/11, we're looking at a fucking nuke over here. And no mm-hmm. one really asked a lot of follow-up questions because that was so absurd. And it's like everyone who knew this was bullshit. But like we were so scared of that it was like, okay, well, then we'll give you a blank check to go to war.
Well, this
and then shortly after that, it was like, no, this is about building a democracy for Iraq. But we're already there. We're already in war now, so there's really no like.
So we're already doing it. This is like that too. I was told recently where I'm like, I don't want to do shows inside. And they're like, when did you make that decision? I'm like, yeah, I guess when it was like way worse.
Yeah.
So you got to like adjust a little bit. And we kind of stopped. That flatten the curve was a real thing. This is the same thing of like preying on people's idea of safety. It's the same reason insurance costs so much. Because they're like, it's your health. What are you going to do? Not pay? And you're going to die?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. I mean, but like they said. What
yeah,
they
said
told
flatten
us
the
was
curve.
That this was all about.
It was going like this, and we had to go like that,
and we couldn't overwhelm the hospital system.
We need some time to get beds.
The fear was that right that they, we would overwhelm the hospital system, and that people would
respirators
literally be dying and staring.
We don't have enough respirators, yes. And now it's like actually we don't use any respirators.
Yeah, well, they got all of this wrong.
But
they got all of it.
You got to forgive them for that.
Well, I can't.
They're flying blind of like, I don't know, their respiratory system is failing. Respirator. I don't know. It's
no,
like
listen,
everyone in the world got it wrong.
I don't think respirators were done intentionally to fuck people. Like, doctors are trying to help their patients. And then a whole bunch of doctors started realizing it was hurting their patients. I'm not like casting judgment on the doctors for that. I'm just saying the fact of the matter is that the hospitals were never overwhelmed anywhere. And when I say that, there's nowhere in the United States of America that they ever reached 100% capacity. This never happened. And it was in the vast majority of the country. It never even became close. Cuomo was on TV going, we need, what was it, 60,000 ventilators from the federal government, and we need the fucking Javits Center to be turned into a hospital. They had this Navy ship.
Yeah, the Central Park. Central Park, right?
Hospital. Central Park became a hospital. All of this shit. And they never got even close to the 40,000 or 60,000, whatever it was, respirators. We ended up giving away a bunch of the ones that we had because we realized they were killing more people than they were helping, and only really extreme cases needed the ventilator. The Javits Center never saw patients and just closed down. Whoa. The ship went fucking back. The Central Park thing closed down. They never needed any of it. Now, I'm not saying there might have been people who thought they would need it. I'm just saying that that Americans were convinced to do this under false pretenses. Not that it was necessarily intentional, but that was the justification. And it
wasn't really false pretenses. It was like, hey, we're seeing the trajectory go like this. We got to shut. If it kept going like that, we were fucked. New York was a fuck city.
Yeah, look.
And then it was like, now it's one of the best cities for it, right?
Sure, absolutely. And I don't know what exactly.
Shutting down helped.
Well, you know, honestly, I think it's debatable. I really think it's debatable.
What do you think started slowing it down?
Well, look, I mean, let me say this. If you're, there are places that didn't shut down. And I think there's four states in America that didn't shut down ever at all. Sweden never shut down. Japan never shut down.
Sweden got bad. And, Japan was really good.
Well, look, I mean, I'm just saying, yeah. Sweden, you can kind of argue this, right? Like Sweden, they've basically done a little bit worse than the other, than surrounding countries, than Denmark, than Norway.
Way worse.
Well, no.
In the very beginning, it was like, hey, they're actually not worse off. And then it got like real bad.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, at this point.
Japan did great.
At this point, they've done worse. But really, if you look at it, the majority of their problem, at least I think half the deaths or in the ballpark of half the deaths in Sweden, mm-hmm. were in their nursing homes. They have a huge percentage of people.
That's
in
another weird
homes.
Thing that didn't get talked
so
about.
So if you kind of control for that, it's not that much worse than Denmark and Norway. They're about on par with Italy, with England, with countries like this. They're not.
Spain.
But I'm just saying, for what the shutdowns cost,
mm-hmm.
like the drastic costs that are all over the place. And this is what would drive me crazy about people is that like it's – so it went from being – my point about Sweden is just that if you're going to justify what these shutdowns did, I mean you're justifying people dying for other reasons. You're justifying depression, anxiety going through the roof, domestic violence going up, violence against children going up. Also just kicking tens of millions of people out of work. I mean, destroying millions of businesses. You'd think that Sweden should be like way, way, way worse. Like you'd think for these lockdowns to be justified, they'd have to be saving a ton. Not a country that's on par with England. You know what I'm saying? So what happened was it started as we need 15 days to flatten the curve. And then when the curve got flattened and the hospitals weren't overwhelmed, they transitioned to we need no new cases. We need to defeat the disease. We needed all this shit. And this became this goal that what, you know, Americans basically went, all right, we'll all stay home for 15 days. We'll give up life for 15 days.
Yeah.
And we're now like almost 200 days later and people haven't gotten their fucking
lives. It was like they got used to it and they were like, okay.
Well, we got that. See, this is the thing, right? I'm not even – I don't fucking know. But I'm not even suggesting that when they asked for the 15 days to flatten the curve, all these politicians were like, this is our fucking trick to get them. But once they got them, they certainly realized, oh, hmm. And then a lot of perverse incentives start coming up. Now all of a sudden these mayors, or governors rather, who weren't really national figures, are fucking big national figures. And they're on TV every day. And they have all this ungodly power. And now, you know, they kind of enjoy this power in some way. Oh, look, Cuomo's writing a fucking book. And everyone's doing their thing. And so now you just create this weird thing where once you give people a little bit of this fucking, you know, it's like the ring. It poisons. And so
they're people. That's the thing. They're actual humans.
Yes.
So you're like, no, it's a governor. It's like sort of as a governor. It's also some dude, you know, named whatever, Mike or Bill. Or whatever, and that guy is like, oh, this guy was talking about me.
Yes.
You know, it's tough not to let that get to you.
Yes, they're human beings, just like everyone else. And, you know, that's true, too, with a lot of these fucking epidemiologists and people like that who, you know, People are like, oh, look at Fauci. Fauci's like this fucking guy. He's the TV epidemiologist. Like, first off, do you know what fucking most serious fucking doctors think about the TV doctors?
It's like the lawyer who has a billboard on the side of the bus.
Yes, right? That's literally it. Yeah. Go ask fucking...
I never go to the Supreme Court.
Dude, my mother and a bunch of her fucking friends, she's a fucking psychoanalyst. Like, and that's like, I've known a lot of them. Go ask them what they think of Dr. Phil. He's right. A fucking joke to them.
Fauci's not that, though.
He kind of is. Fauci's kind of the Dr. Phil of epidemiologists. Yeah. He's a fucking political figure and I'm just saying, don't think there wasn't any part of him that got off on going from being some random nobody to being the dude who everybody's listening to. And the other thing about it is just that they fucking, all of the experts, and this I don't even blame them for, because it's a novel virus. So fucking, it's a novel virus, you know? But they all got it wrong. They all got everything wrong.
What does that
wrong.
Mean? It's a novel virus.
I mean, it's new. It's right. A fucking okay. New virus. People don't know how this like fucking responds. They're basing it based off like, okay, well, here's the data we have so far, and here's how other viruses in the coronavirus family act. So maybe it'll act this way or this way. And they have very little information, so they don't fucking know. But they were out there. The World Health Organization fucking was first off, they were commending China. At the beginning, for the fucking job.
They had to be in China's pocket.
Oh, they 100% are.
They did the same thing with SARS, right? Where they kind of like lowered it. Was it SARS or was it the other one? Swine flu? It was one of them where they were like, they hid it for a bit because China told them to hide it for a bit. And then they're like, okay, thank God it didn't spread that much, or it spread a little bit. But then this one was sort of the same thing.
Well, I just...
Don't hurt our tourism.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm a fucking, you know, I'm like a radical libertarian anarchist who hates government. So that's my bias, just putting that out there. So I do look at things through a particular lens. You know, like I'm not claiming to be like some objective fucking journalist or something. I'm just a fucking comic who has a belief system. But you look around and it's like the failures of governments and all of the global governance bodies was like just fucking astounding. I mean, like, so you have the Chinese fucking government, which, but they still don't really know the origin of the fucking virus itself, and it doesn't look like it was wet markets. I mean, I don't believe that shit.
Think it was a lab? Nobody in China thinks it was from a lab.
Well, that's not true. I mean, there was a group of fucking Chinese virologists who basically wrote this paper that said it did come from the Wuhan lab. Then other people were arguing against that. There's some new Chinese virologist who was just saying that this was like made by the Chinese military. I haven't seen enough evidence to like believe that. I don't fucking know. But what I do know as a fact is that there were fucking two Chinese doctors who blew the whistle on this shit early, and they were silenced by the Chinese government. So the government came in when this could have been contained in a much better way and fucking threw them in fucking jail, then fucking let the thing spread, blocked travel from Wuhan to other parts of the country, but allowed travel from Wuhan into fucking Europe and into America and all this other shit. So fucking like the Chinese government just fucking did this to the world, and then you have the fucking...
They were like, no, we got to protect our citizens. Like, what about other citizens? Like, we don't care.
Pretty much.
Wow.
And then they fucking, you know, you had, like, the World Health Organization complimenting China, who's fucking paying them, of course. Then you had the World Health Organization and the CDC in the beginning were saying, don't use masks, by the way. Don't use masks. Masks are no good.
What was
they won't
that?
Help
so that
you.
We wouldn't run out of masks for the people in the hospitals?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're claiming now. But they still fucking lied
these,
to people.
So it's like,
yeah.
We could have just done that.
Yeah, I mean, they
don't hoard the M2
like,
masks or whatever.
Don't hoard the N95s. Like, okay, but like, you know, basically, you know, where, anyway, they told everyone not to wear something. This was before they fucking mandated that everyone has to fucking wear masks. And the fucking...
It's very confusing not to be like, we're doing more research. We're figuring it out about masks. It's like, don't. We're like, what part of you is hearing that you shouldn't?
Yeah. And all types of just misinformation and fucked up things. So like, and again, I'm not like claiming that the misinformation was like all done intentionally or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the failure of it. But the stuff about, I mean, just spending March and April and most of May with people being like, "What you know, wipe down your groceries. It lives on surfaces."
But they were saying it does. It lives on surfaces, but you just couldn't catch it.
Didn't catch it, right? So that. Oh, and
I remember Rogan telling me that one of those boats. They were like, "Dude, 3 weeks later, live virus particles were in cabins that hadn't even been used or something like that, or even if they had been used, like weeks later,
right.
Not like 5 days,
right?"
And it's like, "Fuck!" That's what he said. All the pictures, like somebody pushes floor 7 on their elevator. Someone else hits L. So that L is now infected. L and 7 are infected. And now those person goes to 7 and infects everyone else on that
which
floor.
Which the funny thing is that, so they were telling us a mix of two things that turned out to not be true, which was basically, not, I mean, technically it does live on these surfaces, but that you could get sick from it like that. And the other thing they were saying is there's these super spreaders. There's asymptomatic people who are going around thinking they're healthy and spreading it to everyone. Now, all of this turned out to be wrong. But, you know, fair enough. You got to get more data, do more research before you figure these things out. But if that were true, we'd fucking all have it. Like, if that were true, then herd immunity would be the only option. And you know what? A lot of people are going to die. But that's fucking the reality of the situation. Because if you're telling me it lives everywhere for fucking weeks and you can just touch
it
and that.
It didn't make sense.
You can have no symptoms and spread it around to people. Then this thing is going to fucking get everywhere. And there's no keeping it in. And truthfully speaking, you know, the part of the reason that, you know, they go like they look at a lot of these different places. And when people really dispassionately look at the places that locked down versus the places that did lock down, it's not conclusive that locking down made a big difference. But when you really think about it, you're like, oh, OK, well, we're not in true quarantine.
Well, that's the problem.
I mean,
nobody,
a true quarantine,
nobody locked down.
No one's really quarantined.
That was the thing. No one
Everyone's
really locked down.
To the fucking supermarket.
Not in this country.
Like the fucking places. But you need to. I mean, like,
okay,
you can't.
Right.
People will starve to death.
So I have friends in other countries, and I ask them, like, literally, I hate trusting the media, and we'll get to that later, the media. But, like, I'm like, you're on the street. You're on the ground there. You tell me what it's like. I mean, I've gotten calls from my friends who are like, oh, New York's a war zone. I'm like, dude, that's just not happening here. Yeah. I'm in a park eating food in the outdoors. Like, it's just not. You can keep hearing that all you want. It's just not true. So talk to people on the streets. And in other countries, they legitimately lock down. You, like, do not go out. They were at the point where they were almost like, let your dog shit inside. You can't go out for any reason. And here we're just kind of like, kind of don't.
Well, like,
but we didn't really ever do it.
In Italy, they had like 2 hours a day where you could shop, and it was like staggered by what block you lived on. And sure, there were definitely harsher lockdowns in other places. But again,
Australia
just,
and Melbourne, you can't leave your postal code.
Is that it's just it's not fucking clear, you know? And like even now, when we know a lot more about it, we're certainly much better at treating it. And that's a big part of the reason why deaths have gone way, way down from it. And why when there's these new, you know, outbreaks of it, it's not like New York or New Jersey or Italy or these places where you're looking at lots of dead people because they're much better at treating it. But even now it's like, so back then in March, they were telling us it lives on surfaces, the fucking, you know, super spreaders who are you know, asymptomatic. And also they were swearing it's not airborne. What if we definitely know it's not airborne. And now they're kind of questioning all of that. Now it's like, actually a lot of people do think it's airborne or at least kind of airborne. It's a, you know, it's a fucked up virus. But what happened was they dove in, much like with the wars. And it's something. So I remember when the Knicks gave Allen Houston
all that
$100 million. They paid him more than Kobe was making. And then Allen Houston continued to be Allen Houston. And I remember the people, like
a
the general
starter.
Manager,
that's all he ever was,
yes,
a starter.
One of your better starters.
Yeah.
You know, but,
yeah. Okay.
You don't
okay.
pay him more than Kobe.
Maybe he's a team MVP.
Right.
Every other year.
Yeah, right. It's even debatable whether he's the best player on the team.
Yeah.
And the GM and they'd be like, no, this was a great move and blah, blah, blah. And of course, it's like, well, now you have to keep defending it. Because if you don't, then you have to admit
you
that
play
you
the
deserve
guy.
To be yeah. fired. So, like, you can't just admit. So this is what happened is they went so big on this that none of them could admit maybe we overreacted to this. And then some weird psychological phenomenon, like, developed where people got really into it. And people got angry at you if you ever tried to bring up good news or something where you'd like, well, hey, look, this virus, look, it's terrible that it's fucking killing people. But look, it really is primarily killing people who are like
old
immunocompromised and old.
Well, I don't like that. Whenever they say pre-existing conditions, to me, that's too much of an umbrella word because that also includes people who have asthma, which is a lot of people.
Sure.
When you hear pre-existing conditions, you're like, you picture old age home people in their deathbed already. But the reality is, like, someone who had the flu last year, someone who had bronchitis earlier this year, asthmatics. This is a lot of those people. So it's like, I just hate that word because it somehow justifies he's a smoker. It's
okay.
Like, so yeah, there's a lot of smokers.
I get what you're saying. But the truth is, if you look at the death numbers from COVID in America, it's, I get what you're saying where that can be misleading, but it's more misleading to pretend that everybody can fucking die from this. The truth is that the amount of people, I think the CDC numbers, and go double check these numbers because I don't have them offhand, but I think the people, I think it was like 6% of the people who died didn't have one of these like five or six conditions.
I know, but those things are not enough to like, I'm just not buying that these things say like, yeah, you should die.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not saying you should die.
That's not even the way to do it. But like,
I'm not saying, no one's saying you should die.
But there's all these normal people in there where it's like, let's say Bert or Big J died. And you'd be like, oh, fuck. They're like, well, technically, they were overweight. So that's a pre-existing condition. And you're like, yeah, but there are people who never would have died.
No, no question about that. Although I do think that, so the guy who is the head of, he's like in England. He was the epidemiologist who mapped out like their biggest, he was like the head of the team. I'm blanking on his name, but he was the head of the team that mapped out their projections. And he said that his estimate was that between 50% to 2/3 of the people who died of COVID were probably going to die in 2020.
Okay, so that's a better
example. So to not,
so know, take those people out. That's not 6%.
Take that into account. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying none of this means it's not a problem. Like right. Even if it's going to kill people who would have lived two more years, like that doesn't mean it's not a problem. But what it does do is give you more information about who's actually
context.
Vulnerable to the disease, and that maybe it's the move is to protect the more vulnerable people and mm-hmm. not lock everything down. And I also think it's like, you know, you have to think about these things in terms of like a cost benefit analysis.
$10 million per life. That's a number.
What?
$10 million per life.
Right. Well, that's what they do. And even though that's kind of crazy sounding, it's like you can't just, you know, what Cuomo ended up saying was, which this, oh my God, it just drove me crazy after, you know, weeks after they abandoned the flattening the curve narrative. Is he said, if it saves one life.
That's crazy.
That was his justification.
Because if it saves one life, then you don't have warehouses. Well, you don't have factories. Because, I mean, like, someone will die every year in a factory. You don't have amusement parks.
Dude, we allow people to do shit. Like, we have jet skis.
Yeah, that if it saves one life, is like, get off your high horse
and
fuck off.
Get out of here. And the other thing about it is that it's not, like, okay, it's also going to cost lives. You know what I mean? And it's not, we don't actually operate that way. Even though that sounds nice. We don't actually operate in a way where we make these decisions all the time.
You're allowed to go skydiving.
Yes, you're allowed to go skydiving. And if it could save one life to not do that. But you know what? We allow people to do that. Now, that is a little bit different than a contagious disease, obviously.
Because you're not going to land on anybody when you're skydiving.
Sure. But just to say that if it saves one life, justification is bullshit. But, you know, like there are, you know, the truth is it's very, very unlikely that people who are under 65 and are in pretty good health will die.
Yeah, I would like to know what
this.
That pretty good health means. So like, one of the early cases that I saw was Michael Yo. I was a comic in mid-40s, but in real good shape. He like works out. Kind of like Mark Norman body, you know? He's just like in quite good shape. And he got real sick from it. Thought he was going to die. And it was like, oh, fuck. And that the fear came. It was like, it's killing everybody. That guy's in shape.
Sure.
And then later found out like he had a vitamin D deficiency and he didn't get a lot of sleep. It's like, oh, well, that makes sense. And, and then I was like, wait, hold on. I don't get a lot of sleep every time I fly. So like I can be in that position.
Sure.
And then it'll be just justified away. But like, well, he was sleep deprived.
But it's not, look, it's not a matter of justifying anything away. It's just that there are risks in life. And in life, you have to figure out, like, you have to kind of in some way figure out, like, how serious is this risk? Like, what are we talking
about? I would like people to actually discuss that. And there was never a discussion of that. It was always, we do everything or we do nothing. And it's not like, well, let's actually do. So when they go, it's old age homes are hurt. I'm like, okay, what movements are put in place right now to protect old age homes? And there was like zero.
Right. And then and all these resources are being thrown at all these other things. And it's like, well, maybe if we threw like all our resources at this, it would actually be more efficient. And so these are the conversations that like people
weren't happening.
People like to be binary thinkers. It just makes people feel better. They feel like they have mastery over an issue. And a lot of these things are way more nuanced. I think I said this last year.
Binaryism is one of the chief things holding us back.
Yes.
That if like a bad person, let's say, Epstein gave a bunch of charity to the United Negro College Fund. And then all the shit he did bad was real, but this charity is like better off. So it's like you can't discount that completely.
Well, right. And there's that's just the way life works. I mean, I remember saying this last year. I think we talked about this last year on the podcast when we were talking about like the Green New Deal.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what bothers me is that there's these people who kind of like they jump from, I believe in climate change, so I'm for this. And
right.
you either do believe in it or you don't. Right. And I'm like, well, okay, but there's really like with climate change, there's kind of like four questions and you're acting like there's like one or two. Like it's like, okay, is the climate changing? Is man-made activity responsible for the climate? And if they agree with both of those, then they're like, see, for the Green New Deal. And then you're like, well, no, there's still more questions. Like, how bad is it going to be? And then is your proposal, like, are the costs outweighed by the benefits? Because you could be like, I believe in climate change, and my solution is to, like, drop nukes on five continents, and that'll slow down carbon emissions.
Yeah, like,
but that's not a good plan.
You should be able to look into it.
You have to actually talk me through your plan and go, how much is this going to cost? In you know, like there and there are balances that are very hard to strike. But just for example, you know, like we kind of all do this all the time and don't even think about it. But like if someone said, I'm really concerned about getting into a car accident, and so I bought a car that's like a very safe car, or so I always wear my seatbelt, or I never drink before I drive, or something like that.
A Toyota Corolla, an IAHS safety rated highest value in compact cars. Thanks, Toyota, for sponsoring. No, it's not true. Yeah, it's like, they are highly like, rated.
There's no way you landed a Toyota sponsorship
you imagine?
For your podcast. You literally can't even get monetized on YouTube. Toyota is not coming
It's like
out.
Yo Kratom, CBD rub, and Toyota.
You really should have picked a more believable like car. Like, what's the shittiest? Like, Kia?
Hyundai. I mean, it's still here.
All right, I'm buying it.
The Yuko. It's still at your local.
But if someone said, you know, I'm worried about car accidents, so I will never get in a car. We'd all kind of look at that person and be like, okay, that's like neurotic.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy. But the other things we deem as logical. Now, this is all just playing a weird numbers game in your head.
So I had this talk with somebody at the seller once, and I don't want to say who because I don't want to get him in trouble at all. But I was like, I don't want to speak anymore about things that I really don't know about. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, the Paris Accord. That we're pulling out of.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I started to be like, oh, it's terrible or it's good. And honestly, I don't know what the old Paris Accord was. I don't know why they're pulling us out. I don't know any of it. So I should probably just keep my mouth fucking shut. And she was like, I trust people who tell me to care. And it was like, oh, wow, you can't even agree with me on I don't know, so I'll be quiet.
Because I know this person.
You sign up for a cause.
If she followed that advice, which is fairly reasonable advice, it would destroy her entire identity. It would literally destroy who she is if she had to go, oh, I'm going to stop talking about things that I don't know about because that's what she does. So it's just, you know, people get really dug in and identity is a motherfucker, dude.
So
like, identity is a really big fucking thing.
You want to get into that now or you want to save that identity? We can right now or we can do it later.
Well, let me just say this and then we could bring it up later. Cause
okay, we can also keep going in and out of it.
Yeah, that's fine. But I remember this time, right, I was watching my little brother – was 3 years old, and I'm like 13 years older than him. So I guess I was like 16, and he's three. It's from my mother's second marriage. And so
the correct marriage.
Well, the more correct one, for sure. I was watching the Knicks game, and he came up to me. You know, he was like interested, so I was like kind of
the New York Knicks.
Him.
Check in every day for fantastic sports. New York Knicks, official sponsor of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank.
I swear to God, I'd buy that one. That's how pathetic the Knicks are.
That's how bad they are.
Probably,
like, they couldn't even get like, to Rogan.
Dude, we need to move some tickets. We're hoping, you know.
They're only selling 50 tickets. Like, that's 50. That's 48 more than we got.
We got to keep the lights on here.
They're getting WNBA numbers.
Yeah, really. But so we're watching the game. My little brother's 3 years old. I don't know why. I just remember this. I always remember this moment. But I was explaining the game to him or whatever, and he's 3 years old. And he looks at the screen and looks at me and he goes, which one is me?
What?
And it's just a weird thing for a three-year-old to say. It almost like kind of confused.
Who am I rooting for?
But I was like, well, you mean who are you rooting for? Like we root for the ones in the blue shirts and blah, blah. And then he kind of like accepted that and moved on. But it's like that's how basic and in us identity
wow,
is. That
yeah.
It's like the way a three-year-old tries to process a new thing is goes, who's me? Like who am I? If I want to care about this at all, I need to know who I am. Who represents me? And then basically what I explained to him is that is how it works. We root for all the people in the blue shirts. Yeah. That's us. Those are our – but that's like
– And then he'd be like, why? Are they cooler? Like – I really don't know anything about them.
Dude, and this...
Well, I've done no research. I just like the Knicks.
Fucking identity explains so much about human psychology. This is why... This is the essence of why kids become school shooters. It's like, why would anyone want to do that? It's like, well, because he'd rather be that guy than the guy who gets picked on at fucking school. I'd rather be the one who fucking kills the people.
Or have to sign up for all the fucking details that are given to him.
Right. I fucking hate my identity so much that I'd prefer this fucking identity of the guy who fucks you up, you know?
Dude, how many people... Let's just say tomorrow, racism in every form, every institutionalized thing, every like slight numbers or more, that whatever, if it all were like gone, even everyone's treated equal, men and women earn the same regardless of whether they did before or not. Everything is even. How many people like that person or other people we know would the next day after that kill themselves? great, we did it, but instead, like, I have no identity left.
It would really hurt liberal white women if that were to happen. But so that's and
how part can I be better that, than you?
The identity thing, I think, really just like came out, especially when we're so in this culture
in COVID,
tribalism in COVID. People were like, "Who do you identify with?" Well, I identify with the Democrat governors and the masks and the caring about this and all this weird like ritualistic shit. Like even the
ways.
Yeah.
The people grabbing your mask and ripping it off are like, are you nuts?
Oh, no, 100%.
And the people who are like, it was crazy how they were like, if you are this party, Republican, you stand for, you hate masks, you hate, and it's like, you know, those old people in the Republican Party who don't want to, who are like scared of getting it and dying. There's an 80-year-old in the Republican Party who's like, yeah, this is really frightening. They say it hurts people my age. And everyone puts on them like, you must not wear a mask, huh?
Yeah, it's very weird, man. It's very strange, and there's no on the surface.
Yeah.
There's no reason why COVID should have been a partisan issue. There's nothing about it, but it does show you something about like the
it's
moment
crazy.
We're living in that people had to force
a
partisan issue into this situation. Like you're forcing this like square peg into a round hole.
Israel tried for a little bit when they were way ahead of the virus. They were like, we are not going to make this political. We are all both sides. We're at each other's throats all the time. This is an issue that is about safety, and we are not going to do this. It's just let's all decide together what's the best at saving Israelis so we can get back to killing Arabs. apartheid! Hey, guys, this episode is brought to you by Apartheid. It doesn't just exist in South Africa anymore. It's all over the world. Apartheid. Proud sponsor of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. this is how you know I just don't care. But and then eventually they did make it political.
The ads are getting more and more believable. Like each one, you're like, oh, if apartheid was going to advertise, this is exactly where they would advertise for sure.
But for a while, they were like, no, we're all in this together.
Well, we got
and it should have been right.
We got into it right away, then it just became
right
like
away.
A weird thing where you couldn't have any type of reasonable conversation.
You really couldn't
about it. It was like very weird. Like people would be, you know, people are so-
only with your most reasonable and closest friends could you be like, "What do you think about this?"
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is like, has their opinion and will shout it at you.
Yeah, and it's like, and things are so
me too
upside down. I mean, like it's you know, I think it's really something that like you know, look, you could say all the stuff with how it was handled early on. Like, I'm willing to give, like, a pass to, like, yeah, they fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
People thought it would be this way, and it wasn't. People thought this would work, and it didn't, you know? But for Cuomo to be, like, writing a book about what a great job he did handling COVID...
First of all, why are you writing
a... people to be holding him up, like, he did, just objectively, the worst job. Like, no state had more deaths than him. Like, I mean, I don't get where you get to be some authority. Now, look, part of that's out of his hands, not his fault. Look, the density of New York City, the travel into New York City, socioeconomic conditions of New York City. There's a lot of factors that go into work here. But he did make the decision to send COVID-positive patients into nursing homes. Now, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he thought that was the best decision to make at the time. Okay, we now know it wasn't. And it killed a lot of people. So fine, you made a mistake, but you don't get to brag about what a great job you did when
you know,
fucking
there's
made
this
that
thing
mistake.
That happens is once you accept a new reality, everything is a comparison to the new reality, not to the old way. For instance, stand-up in New York now exists outdoors. Now, if you told me a year ago we're doing an outdoor show, hard pass.
Sure.
But once we've accepted that there is no stand-up, we're like, oh, 18 people in fucking Central Park with no mic is lovely.
Yeah.
L.A. never got this because they never fully shut down like we did. They did a half thing. They were still had fucking movie theaters open and shit. So when they were like, oh, stand-up's not coming back, like, what the fuck? And it's like, oh, yeah, you guys just hadn't gone to zero. So you had never accepted that it was like slowly going down.
But there's something really creepy about how quickly so many people.
Yeah. So when they accepted that New York's the worst city in the world for this, mm-hmm. and then it's like, that's their, so they're comparing it to that. Yeah. And they said Cuomo's job started on day horrible yeah. and not day okay.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that fucking happened while this was all going down early on was that the fucking. So and there's other aspects that I should just mention just because I do want to get my fucking angle out on this that I care about. But mm-hmm. all of the fucking problems, like even if COVID was the disaster that people thought it might be. And at the beginning, there were people who thought we might be looking at millions of deaths and like, you know, like so it could be really, really bad. But even if that had been the case, the major problems that were look, viruses are nasty little microscopic fucking cunts. You know what I mean? Like, they're fucking bad, and this was a particularly nasty one. So that, in any, you know, however you organize society, viruses are going to fucking suck unless some fucking genius figures something out. But the fucking problems with all of this shit, the reason why we were having mask shortages and problems with the amount of ventilators, yeah. even though it turns out we didn't need them.
Is but we thought
all,
we needed them.
We thought we and if we had needed them, the reason why there was a shortage with this shit is because they're all like crazy fucking regulated by the fucking FDA. And you have to jump through a million fucking hoops in order to fucking be allowed to fucking even produce them. The reason why it took so long to get testing.
Wasn't that nuts?
Fucking has to be allowed. It's
wasn't it nuts
insane.
Like 2 months later, like, wait, I can't get a test?
Yeah.
Wait, what? It was like, whatever you want to say, but like testing and like if you have it, stay home kind of shit was important on both sides.
Well, they, and they
everyone
like,
kind of thought
like
that. And tracers.
About it because they'd be like, well, look, we cut all this red tape because it usually takes 2 years for us to fucking, you know, permit someone to develop a new test. But we let them do it in 4 months or something like that. And you're like, yeah, but why can't they just fucking do it? And like, I'm not saying like, obviously, that, you know, in like a true free market. Okay, I'm not saying you want to get some fucking COVID test from like fucking Joe Schmo who made it in his basement. You know what I mean? But if like a reputable lab wants to produce a fucking COVID test,
let him do it.
Let him fucking do it. Like, I don't know. Let him fucking do it. Maybe we can get a handle on this thing earlier and we don't have to put
the contact tracers are like, do people like, by the time we got a test back, it's 14 days. Like, tracers don't matter.
And what just like I kind of mentioned earlier, but it's like anything that could have avoided this shit, you know, the what I think isn't looked at nearly enough and still to this day is what the costs of this lockdown were. And I'm not like saying that there wouldn't be any costs associated with not having these actions, but the costs are so incredibly high that yeah. to look at this and go like, oh, but some more people would have died, so it's a no-brainer. It's like, dude, you don't even know how many like not just the economic cost,
well,
which isn't removed from the human cost. You know, I mean, like, people's lives have just, their dreams have been destroyed.
You see it all over New York.
Yeah. Oh, it's like tragic, dude. It's a fucking tragedy. See, every one of these fucking businesses represents somebody's dream and their hopes. And you know, people have no idea what people put into to open these small businesses. And it's terrible. But also just like these human, like, moments. Like, I just remember reading about this one guy. He like posted a long thread on social media.
Stories are not statistics.
No, not at all.
I'm just saying that whatever you're about to say, it's like stories pull at our heartstrings harder than stats do.
I'm using an anecdote, and then my point is going to be like, and there's lots of stories like this. But there was this one guy who's like has an autistic kid, and he goes, his kid was making really great progress because he was in this special school for autistic kids, and they shut the school down, and he's like completely reverted back, and he's like, he'll probably never get that.
And those are real things.
And that's a real thing. And there's like, these stories are like all over the country, and it's very, you know, this thing came about that was like, well, listen, we have to trust the scientists. And okay, scientists are, it's very good to listen to scientists. But scientists are not really in a position to weigh the costs of public policy.
No, they're only supposed to say, here are the risks.
Here are the risks, and here's what we could do to minimize the risks. But they're not really in any position to answer this philosophical question, which is like, well, what's more important? Destroying freedom, destroying the economy, destroying people's families, or this. That's not for an epidemiologist to say.
Same thing when all the scientists came out and said, Black Lives Matter protests are worth it. And you're like, right, well, whoa, not your pay grade. We'll get back to it.
For a second, because that is like almost my moment of the year.
Yeah, I was Rachel Maddow. I was watching a lot of them when I was staying with my parents. They loved her. I liked her way of speaking. Kind of, she speaks normally instead of pressy, you know?
Yes, not pressy. I wouldn't call it normally, but it's...
She speaks in a normal way. It's like, so do you understand what I'm saying? Like if someone was trying to explain a story, they would do it that way. Same, Trump does it too. He doesn't speak... It's funny when you see him speak and then he hands it over to Pence and he's like, listen, we're not going to do this or this or this. And then Pence's like, the American people.
Right back to politician. Like, what the fuck is that? It's so weird.
But so she was talking to Georgia had just opened up. They had, it was a bad state. They had just opened up. They were about to in a day or two. And she was talking to a doctor, some hero doctor. She already had him on the podcast, the show. Scheduled. And she goes, actually, you're a doctor. You saved all these lives. You worked, 18 hours a day, and you saved this life and this life, and people are calling you a hero. So maybe you'd be would like to say something about this. They're about to open up Georgia again, and she's leading him so hard. And this will go into, the media we do later. But, she's like, you would say that it puts people unnecessarily at risk, right? And it was a terrible idea to open up the businesses and stuff like that. You would see that, right? And he goes... And he just doesn't take the bait. He goes, oh, I'm a doctor. That's not for me to know. All I know is how to save the lives that are in front of me who are sick.
Right.
He goes, I think there's economic parts of that decision too that also I have no idea about. But anyway, the point is, we need you to get your vitamin D in. You got to get some zinc. And he stayed on point.
What was so strange.
They're giving non-experts expert opinions.
And so much of it was this is just kind of a hypothesis, but I think this is true. But I really do think that if Donald Trump had from day one been, I'm taking this virus very seriously. We need a lockdown. I'm issuing a national lockdown. We all need to wear masks. We all need to do this. I think every liberal and leftist would have said this is tyranny. He's a Nazi. And we're for opening up. And we don't need to wear these masks. And I almost wish that had been the dynamic. And then the left would be on the side of freedom and arts, which in some ways fits the left-wing thing better than
freedom.
Being pro-mask seems like the conservative thing to be, not the liberal thing.
And the first few days, I remember seeing a few memes of a guy taking some stuff to a counter, buying cigarettes, and this person's going to ring it. I was like, don't you fucking touch it. You can get that COVID on there.
Yeah,
and it was that's an overly – he's taking it overly seriously. That does seem rednecky, Republican-y. Yes, and then it just switched to touch it, cough on it. I don't care. I'm Republican. And it was where
– The conservative mindset, it would seem, would be more about we want walls. We want order. We want protection.
Yeah.
We want this. The artist, kind of leftist person you'd think would be more listen, I'll take some risks. Life isn't without its risks, and I'll roll the dice because life is so
AIDS, I'm going to fuck without a condom. That's a very left-wing idea. Rent.
And that can be necessary and important to be life is more than just keeping your heart beating.
Yep.
Life is about going to a show, hanging out with a friend, doing a thing. There's more to life than this. Anyway, it just seemed like this weird thing that got forced in there. And then I'd be in this position where they'd be like, okay, so as that doctor just made, there's an economic question that's a little over my pay grade here, you know? And it's or not over, but separate from my area of expertise. So you go okay, so we're putting tens of millions of people out of work. I just read the other day, they're projecting. Now, these are just projections, who the fuck knows, but I think it was Newsweek or CNBC, someone, is that they said that 60% of the businesses that closed in the lockdowns are going to be closed forever. Now, that's that's huge. And then I'd get these liberals and leftists who would be whatever, we got a lockdown to save lives and whatever.
It's not whatever. You should be they had Truman, I think, or somebody would call people who died at war and be like, yes, I have to send people to war. But yes, I also feel horrible that you lost your son. I'm not going to be like, well, that's the cost. It's no, he was stayed up at night. He was torn over it because he was like, somebody died because I had to do this thing.
I hope maybe he felt bad about dropping those nukes.
It might not have been Truman. It was just some old president.
But I don't know who it was. To actually, like, explain to, like, left-wing friends of mine to be like, it just feels like, well, obviously you know this, but do I have to explain to you that there are profound human costs to economics? Like, do I really have to explain to a leftist that poverty also has negative,
racial
effects? That it, like, really, you don't, like, you, this is your whole thing, is that you know this.
I think a lot of it's, we're a country made up of dummies, and so, like, whatever the case, I think I've told you this, like, our sports fans are some of the dumbest sports fans in the world. We're just like, Emmitt Smith's better than Barry Sanders. Like, well, why? Barry Sanders is like, because I like the Cowboys and Emmitt Smith's the best one. And it's like, you apply that same, like, rah, rah, pew, pew, yep, to feminism, to the COVID situation, to whatever. It's like, I barely know anything, but what I think is the best thing. Yeah. And no one has the ability here in this dumb fucking cowboy country to go, I'd love to listen. I don't really know much about this.
Yeah. No, you're right. And then the other thing, and we could, I guess, touch on, like, how it all, like, played out. But the thing that just fucking, that drove me crazy, that really didn't get nearly enough coverage, or that I think most people aren't aware of, but yeah, the fucking financial shit that went on when this first, like, right? And I mean, this is, like, to me, why, like politicians, seriously, and I don't know, you know how to say this shit better than me and protect yourself, but maybe after a trial or something like that, should be fucking put up against a wall and executed, is that in fucking jail, this moment...
Fine. Jail's fine.
Yeah, or jail, or whatever. And obviously that's all just satire and just a joke, yeah, in case the feds are listening.
I'm not saying they should be. I'm just saying, eventually if the people take power, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to suddenly, like, be like, let's be cool, let's and fucking send them to jail? Or are they going to fucking beat this shit until people die?
If there was an all-knowing moral God, and he decided to rain hellfire on all of these politicians, I would get where he's coming from.
What do you mean? For what? What do they do wrong?
So when this all fucking happens and they're fucking failing, you know, like, really the government, if you think about it, right? And there's, like, to me, like, as an anarchist, like, this would almost be, like, when I have these just, like, abstract conversations with people about how I think society should work or whatever, this would almost be the example of why you need a government. Like, well, what if something like this happens? It's this huge fucking virus, and it's a global pandemic, and you need all of this. And then you just watch them fail at their job at every turn. And the first fucking thing these pieces of shit do, when the fucking, while America is on its knees, we're in our darkest fucking moment, really hurting, like, people fucking dying, people terrified, people losing their livelihoods, all this shit, scared at home watching politicians, what do? The first fucking thing these pieces of shit did is they had the Federal Reserve extend fucking $2.5 trillion in zero interest loans to all the big banks. So right away, let's fucking rape the American people to give
and
more
give it to
money
banks?
To the big banks who've already been bailed out by the taxpayers.
Why do they give it to the banks?
Oh, just because, you know, they have some justification, like, well, this could lead to economic uncertainty, and so the banks need to still be able to give credit or whatever it is, but it's fucking bullshit.
It's like, with the 600 that the people got, they also, like, while we're here, let's fuck it. It's almost like the Nazi art stuff, where they're like, let's we're going to free people from Nazis, but, like, I can grab this art for myself.
In what they added to the debt, it's been something like over, like, $40,000 per household, like, added to the debt this year. They gave you a lousy $1,200 or whatever. They fucking, so first they had the Federal Reserve fucking money, right, that they fucking that they just give trillions free to the banks. Then they passed these huge, and of course Donald Trump brags about how it's the biggest bill ever. Oh, look, we wasted the most of your money. Thanks, fucking little dick overcompensating orange president. Yeah, wow, thank you. Oh, make it bigger. That's better.
Biggest bill ever.
Such,
like,
a fucking
what?
Trump thing to do. Fucking retard. So they do this. It's fucking the smallest part of the bill was the fucking money that they gave to fucking people. There was corporate bailouts, corporate welfare throughout the whole thing. They bailed out all the airline companies. They bailed out the fucking Kennedy Center, got a few million dollars.
Do you know the Lakers?
All their friends.
The LA Lakers, city that was failing, took $4 million in PPP loans. Then people found out, like, what, the Lakers took $4 million? And then they were quick, like, oh, that was a mistake. We're giving it back. Like, you're giving it back because we found you.
Yeah.
You were just going to steal that from fucking, well, because you're technically allowed.
There are a whole lot of people who didn't fucking end up. And those things, even though they're loans, the idea is that like the majority of them will be forgiven. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like they're basically just – it's just corporate welfare. So this is what the fucking government did while in your hour of need. Not only did they not protect you, but then they fucking took the opportunity to go – because this is what they always do. They go, well, it's a crisis, and you know what a crisis is, like Rahm Emanuel said, right? Go, crisis, that's just an opportunity. That's an opportunity to be able to do things you couldn't otherwise do. So they fucking robbed you. Like, in this fucking moment, it's so despicable. On top of that, Dianne Feinstein and, like, I think three other senators, they found this out, that they fucking, and this is, like, the type of shit where it's like, oh, my God, yes, there should be a trial. You should be publicly hung. Like, I don't, yeah. They fucking sold their stocks. They were publicly saying, don't worry about the virus. Everything's fine. And they went and sold off the fucking market, sold their hotel stocks, their airline stocks.
All because they knew what was really happening.
We're about to be fucking tanked.
They're like, so hey, we're about to shut down. It's like, hey, before we announce this, go just insider trading.
Yeah. But it's not technically. Because fucking, you know, they're politicians, so it's just whatever.
And then I got in trouble because fucking Rogan told me he was about to sign that deal with Spotify, and I invested fucking $10,000 in it, and then I'm supposed to, like, keep that quiet?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Sorry. Fucking, yeah, dude. I fucking nailed it. What do you want me to do? It wasn't like I was friends with them just for that information, but I fucking cashed in off it.
Yeah. Did you really do that? Okay, but just make that clear. So fucking, I don't see.
I was borderline telling you the truth or not.
If it wasn't coming like right after me saying this thing about killing politicians, I'd just be like, I really don't want to bring legal trouble down on us. By the way, this is
Right. Actually, Ari, that's exactly the problem.
Just so everyone fucking knows, we're comedians. This is all satire. This is all just fucking.
I regret not when I saw how much they jumped up. I was like, and then I was like, oh no, that'd be a problem. That's why you can't, because you had insider information.
Well, look, I don't even give a shit about that. Either. But something like fucking senators.
But it's a lot worse when you guys are in charge of protecting us and you're hurting the fucking economy. Ugh.
You sold out your fucking country. I mean, it's just like.
My husband sold some stocks or something, and I didn't know. It was like, and they're like, it was only a few $100,000. Like, oh, you can't relate to Americans at all, do you? Only a few $100,000?
Well, that's when Hillary Clinton said that they were dead broke after they left the White House, and they were worth $4 million. And it's like, yeah, no, I get that in your circle, that's dead broke. Like, I do. I get that in Hillary Clinton's circles, having $4 million is being broke. If you're hanging out with fucking billionaires, you're broke. But do you not have enough fucking, like, wherewithal? Like, are you that tone deaf that you think talking to regular people and referring to having $4 million is
now,
dead broke?
Now, we can afford a Maserati a month for 4 years, but... we'll have to think about it.
Yeah, it's like, it makes a difference.
It's not just like willy-nilly get a Maserati a month. Yeah, it's like
we might be doing Nantucket for vacation this year because, you know, Mar-a-Lago's a little out of reach.
I got a Lamborghini, but I got the roll-down window kind.
Like, right. So anyway, but so that was the shit that went on.
Damn. Evil people. So when you see that, and then when they are on trial in a fucking better world, and you're like, what do you have to say for yourself? You should just be like, yeah, I fucked up. I was wrong. I accept the punishments.
Yeah.
But they won't.
No, of course not. That's not how it works.
That's why I always think revolution's the only way. I'm not saying we need a revolution. I'm just saying if you really want change, the revolution's the only way.
Yeah.
These people are part of a fucking a virused out system. It's not. You can't go in there with a clean...
Well, the system needs to be destroyed one way or the other, but the problem is that revolutions aren't peaceful, and that's kind of, you know, the issue, and the vast majority of the time they don't work out well.
You know,
I mean, you can look at, like, when you live in America, I think we kind of have this idea of revolutions that's a little bit rosier than reality. Not that the Revolutionary War was, like, great, but, you know, in terms of revolutions that kind of worked out in not utter disaster, we're kind of one of the sole examples of that. You know, if you look at how the fucking French Revolution worked out, it was, like, really bad. And didn't, even though the system was corrupt beforehand, it didn't fucking help the people any.
Yeah.
And if you look at like the Russian Revolution, it's like, okay, so this led to like, you know, literally the biggest genocides in the history of the world. So, you know,
I'm not saying it's going
to
be nice.
That's a dangerous card to go down.
I'm not saying I want it. I'm just saying like
what you want to have is fucking is like a balkanization of fucking, you want to have like a decentralization. You want to have the system kind of abolished, like by people just breaking away.
So
and
you know,
not
in Colombia
anymore. Huh?
In Colombia, their constitution was written in the, I think the 1800s. And in 1991, they rewrote the constitution. It didn't include indigenous people, which is a way bigger part of their, population than here. didn't include all the FARC members and whatever. And they said, let's all have everybody come to the table and let's all sit down and rewrite a new constitution. That was 1991. And they were like, and I asked people there when I was there, I was like, why did you do that? They go, well, it was like our constitution was like 100 and something years old. It was like out of date. And they're like, how old's your constitution? I'm like, a lot older. Yeah. And we are not in any rush to like rewrite it.
No, but we are. I mean, we basically tore it to shreds this fucking year, but not in a good way. But so that's, you know, so the government fucking failed everybody. They took enormous power and they
did take enormous
everybody.
Power.
Well, I mean, and it's like hard to overstate it no matter how much you try to.
And these are this I should say this is like a separate idea from how should we respond to the virus. This is like. Sort of separate from that, like, well, while you're responding, don't also take a bunch of money for
well,
big
that's,
business.
Well, that's for sure, like that aspect of it. But I gotta say, and again, like, I'll put my bias like out there for all the, just to like, you know,
liberalism.
Disclose.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you like, the way I look at things is like, if you're talking about what the government is doing to people, and you're going like, okay, but did this help more than it hurt? Was it necessary? Was it for the greater good? To me, that's like all the wrong way to look at shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I fucking, it's almost like if I were to like, if I were to kill you and take your fucking organs and then go give them to someone else and like saved a life. And then we were having a debate about like, well, did that ultimately, I mean, it did kill Ari, but it did save someone else's life who needed a heart. And then I go, well, what if I took two of your organs and saved two lives? So now I could argue that it was actually worth it to kill you because two people were saving
your
life.
Can't do that.
But the question is, that's not the point is you don't have a fucking right to do that.
Yeah.
You don't have a right to do that. That's like how I look at things. That's what I'm concerned with.
What if it's
with.
More like
you
this?
You don't have a right to decide for someone that they can't have a funeral for their dad.
What if it's more like this? Because I like using comparisons, but I like to try to keep them as fair as possible. What if it's more like, hey, that guy's dead. He never signed. We can use his organs. But I'm going to take his organs and give them to someone who's about to die from organ failure.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different conversation.
It's closer.
But, well, it's not closer to the reality. Because the reality of this is that you're actually violating real living people's rights. And my point is that you don't have a right to do that. You don't – like, I don't care if you make the argument that it's effective – people have a right to assess their own risk tolerances in life. And if you like fucking don't want to take risk, you have the right to self quarantine and you have the right to wear a mask everywhere and you have the right, but other people have the right to say, you know what? I'm going to fucking roll the dice. Dude, there's, and
here's why it's not quite as simple.
Well, I'm not saying it's simple, but I'm saying that like, it's not as simple as the other way either. Like, look, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and one thing that you kind of become aware of when you have like a little kid
Typers.
Is like how precious every second is. That you're like, she's never going to be 2 again, you know? Like, she's 2 right now. Like, she was 1 for a little bit, and that's gone. That's gone forever. I'll never have my 1-year-old back. I mean, I have another kid, but I'll never have my daughter at 1 again. That moment was like priceless to me. And there, like, the idea that there was like a month, I think I did a month. We're like, my mother and my sister didn't see my daughter. And then at that point, I was like, no, fuck this. Like, I'm not, this is priceless fucking time.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not, I mean, it's up to them if they don't want to risk it. My mother's really the one who's in.
And I'm sure some people say, like, how would you feel if your mom died? Or.
But you know what? She was comfortable taking that risk. So here's how
right,
I feel.
I was going to say, here's the or. Or is, how would the children of your mom's friend feel if you gave it to your mom, she was okay, and they gave it to her mom.
Yeah, okay, right. There's a lot of, like, factors with this too, right? But then you also go, like, okay, well, my mother could get into a car accident on the way over to visit.
Sure.
Like, there are risks. Now, obviously, this makes the world riskier. But what is the risk? And are you comfortable taking that risk? And then of how much do you value losing precious time? Like,
it would have been nice if we got all the information and really could decide for ourselves.
Yeah.
But we weren't getting all the information. And what information we were getting was real politicized and like faked almost to like mislead us down a path of like going the way they wanted us to. It was just like, I don't know. So in Cuba, they have what I got from Diaz, $1,500 fine if you're outside without your mask. Which to me, the mask one was like, who cares? Just put on your fucking mask. Open up your business and shit like that, I get. Are you guys really worried about the mask? $1,500 fine. And I was like, that's a lot. Do people have more money in Cuba? And he goes, in fact, Ari, no, they do not have more money in Cuba. They have far less. So the result was everybody wore their fucking masks.
Right.
And it was like, well, the government, Cuba's different than us, but does the government have the right to say you have to wear your mask? And it's like, no, maybe not. But then it's like, but at least they were smart enough to be like, Other shit can be open. This shit doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, but I mean, you can give them credit for being smart enough, but it's not a coincidence that the same government that you're talking about also thinks they have a right to tell you what book you can't read.
Mm-hmm.
They
also but it's think also
they have a right to fucking throw you in a cage for criticizing the government.
Okay, but it's also not a coincidence that they have one of the lowest instances of COVID deaths around.
Sure, maybe. Maybe not. But you know what? Like, I'll put my money in on not shredding freedom, not giving up on all of that, and not being Cuba. There's more to life than just fucking literally being alive.
Sure.
There's more to it than that. And like, I'll take a free country over living in a fucking communist hellhole. Huh?
How about Canada?
Canada?
Maybe a better example. Someone who handled, like, we're close to us government-wise, and they had a lot per capita lower.
Yeah, but the truth is, and there's been some like epidemiologists who were like fucking honest about this. I read one, I can't remember if she's a virologist or what, but she's like one of the most respected doctors in Japan, and they were asking her about like why Japan did so well.
Yeah, they did really well.
And she goes, and it was just so refreshing to hear. And she goes, well, the truth is, the experts don't know. And we don't really know why some areas were hit so hard, why some areas weren't. There's a bunch of things that just don't exactly make sense that we don't exactly know what's going on. And so I don't think it's completely clear. And I think that unlike Twitter, people like to really argue in 280 characters with certainty. But the truth is that even experts are kind of thrown for a loop over this. So we don't exactly know. There are some good signs, which are that, you know, the hospitalizations are way, way down right now in the country. The deaths are way, way down.
I don't think the deaths are that far down.
Oh, well, they're nothing like what was happening in New York at its height. There's nowhere that's a hot spot like that.
But in June, July, August, and September now, deaths are really even about 1,000 a day.
Oh, okay. Well, I just mean to say that they're way down from where they were at the peak. But, you know, I think that this thing is it's with us. Life is a little bit riskier than it was before COVID.
Here's an interesting thing this brings up about, like, the government doesn't have a right to tell you what to do, whatever. The mask seems so stupid because it's so easy. And then I can understand, like, well, stores can make you wear shoes and a shirt, so why can't they make you wear a mask, especially if it's a private store?
But I have no problem with stores making you do that. Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of, like, how are you to tell me I can't open up my gym? And it made me start thinking about stuff like, well, who are – let's say I'm fully on board with that. Okay. Also, who are you to tell me I have to close my bar at 2? Who are you to tell me that I can't open up a strip club next to a church? You know what I mean? Like, there's all these laws, and definitely not in a libertarian America.
Well, yeah, I agree with you.
Right? Yeah.
No, but now I think you're just finding the fucking truth. And the truth is, like, who are you to fucking tell me, like, well, okay, if fucking there's a church – and like, you know, a school or something like that. Right. And there's a, I don't know, there might be like some, you know, community board or something like that. Or there might be like somebody who owns a bunch of land in the area who's selling you, you know, the land. And part of their deal when they sell it to you is like, well, look, you can't do like a strip club here. You can't do that. And if that's the case, then fine. You know what I mean? But if they're not like in the local community or a property owner or something like that, then yeah, fuck them. They have no fucking
like Carmel right to does that. That. Carmel's like no chain stores. I don't know if that's still the case. Before, they're like no chain stores. Yeah. Like, but who? I bought this property. Who do you say I can't have a Nordstrom's here? And they're like, we don't care about capitalism as much as we care about the cool environment of this town, and we don't want Starbucks here.
Yeah, well, look.
They all decided, or they voted on it.
Yeah, okay, so there's something to that I can maybe, you know, like, accept. But there's also, even within these things, there's just, like, there's levels. There's levels of how much your rights are being violated. Now, as far as the mask thing goes, I don't, like, I think that there's a lot of almost, like, there's weird shit on both sides, like weird psychological shit on both sides of the mask
issue. It's the same as the NRA. If you give an inch, they'll take a mile.
Well,
so yeah,
but also, there was a lot of shit that was going on during all this that like wasn't backed up by the science at all. Mm-hmm. Like the hysteria about people like, you know, going to the beach and stuff like that, where you're like, yeah, but guys, this is not being transmitted at the beach. The beach is like that is the thing that never should have closed. Like, undeniable. People can easily social distance at a beach. In fact, they do. You naturally socially distance at a beach. Have you ever set up a fucking towel within 6 feet of someone else at a fucking beach? That's pretty rare. You tend to be away from them. You're outdoors. The wind is blowing. It's like it's very unlikely to be transmitted here. If you're in an indoor enclosed area with someone for an extended period of time, wearing masks makes a lot of sense. If you're just walking down the street, now New York City is a little bit different, but if you're walking down the street,
you're on people in New York.
It just doesn't make any fucking sense to wear a mask. Like it really is like fucking meaningless. And even here in New York, like it's all this weird fucking thing. Like they're doing these outdoor fucking dining, you know, right? And everyone's wearing a mask when they walk down the street. And if you're not, they'll kind of look at you like, why aren't you wearing a mask, dude?
Here, walk down
the street. And then if you sit down to dine, oh, you take your mask off because fucking I got to eat. So what, all of a sudden you can't transfer the fucking virus?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, well, you have to eat. And it's like, well, God, put it under the mask or something. It's like you still can transfer it. If you have it,
yeah,
you're still going to transfer. Just like for 5 minutes, it's still 5 minutes of transference.
It's all, look, the truth is that none of it completely makes sense. And people don't know what they're doing. And a lot of it is that they're trying to justify backward.
Where do you see this? We did all this shit. Where do you see this going? Because right now, I feel like we've gotten to the point of like, it's evened out, and it's not evened out at a low level. It's evened out at a really between 800 and 1,100 deaths a day. And I think we're getting to the point where it's like, oh, we're used to this. So it's not a big deal that 1,100 people died today of a thing. And so it's just like, now we're kind of just done caring.
But of course, that's always like, look, if fucking... And not, let's just say, like, in a different world, we didn't react, like, the way we did to COVID, right, mm-hmm. or anything like that. But just for, like, a thought experiment. Let's say there was no such thing as the flu.
Right.
You know? And then all of a sudden, one year, there was the flu.
Yeah, people would be hysterical. Came. That's the thing, is, like, getting used to what was done. Yeah.
What, 60,000 people are going to die, and babies are dying?
Dude, that was one of those things that everybody, when they were going, like, it's not worse than the flu, when it wasn't worse than the flu yet. People are like, it's not with the flu, and, like, why? Like, the flu kills how many people in America a year?
Oh, it depends. If, like 30,000 to 60,000.
Okay, they're like,
that range.
The flu kills 60,000 people in America, just in America every year. And I remember everybody was like, wait, what? Dude, we got to stop this fucking flu.
Yeah.
Like, none of us had wrapped our head around that number.
Dude, there's so many things like this, like fucking tuberculosis and things like this kill a lot of fucking people. But it's part of life. Like, life is not without its risk and life is not without its tragedy. And this happens all around us. And then there's really big killers like fucking obesity kills a lot of fucking people.
And you know what? The left made it illegal to say fat is bad.
Yeah, right.
I do see those.
Which, by the way, is not unrelated to the COVID thing
either.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
They're all kind of tied into each other.
I did see a correlation of most countries of like went into like lockdown to a degree. And when they kind of eased up, the spikes started happening again.
There's quite possible.
But like, I get what you're saying. It's like, but is that worth it or not?
But then you also have to ask yourself, see, that like, you go back to the initial justification, which was to flatten the curve. So that was the only justification to me that
can't turn somebody away.
Sense.
Yeah.
Well, because they were going, well, look, we know this is going to happen and we're going to have to open up at some point anyway. So what we're just trying to do is not overwhelm the hospital systems. Like, okay, there's an argument there.
Will I be outside for 2 hours waiting for, or 2 days, or telling me like, hey, you go home, you're a high risk, you could
be treated. Yeah, that's a nightmare situation. And if it takes 2 weeks of a lockdown to avoid that, okay, maybe that's worth it. But if you're saying that, oh, these places lock down, but then when they open up, the cases spike, it's like, okay, so what are you saying? We lock down forever?
Right.
I mean, you're going to have to open up at some point anyway.
Yeah.
And it looks to me like COVID is going to be with us now. It's going to be in the family of coronaviruses that people get, and we're going to have to deal with this. And you know what? The truth is, as fucked up as these numbers are, human beings have been through way, way worse fucking shit and kept moving forward and not given up on everything. And the truth is there are some silver linings. Like I said before, we treat it much better. We know what we're doing much better. That'll only continue to get better.
Joe, let's
and
calm
also,
it down.
Kids don't fucking really die of it, which is like, thank fucking God for that.
Joe List calmed me down once when it was like in April or something, and he was saying, the cool thing is like, this is like mid to late April. He goes, if you get it today, you're in a far better place than if you got it 3 weeks ago. We just know how to treat it better. And it's like something to like not care about. Here's something I wanted to tell you too. Let's say there's like 200, let's say there'll be 250,000 deaths this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 250,000 deaths. Times 10 is 2.5 million. So if there was 2.5 million, yeah, I know, in this country, that's 10% of the country is going to die. But it's not. We don't have 2.5 million. So time is another 10, and you have 25 million. So if we had 25 million people here, 1% of us would die. But we don't. So times another 10, and you get 250 million people, which is closer to what our population is. So that is 1/10 of 1%. So the reality is it's about it's 2/3 of 1/10 of 1% of the population will die. So on some level, you think like who gives a shit? That's almost right. Nobody. Even though this country's been one of the worst countries
hit. One doctor, or maybe it wasn't a doctor, I don't know, but it was someone who said, he was like, let's say there was a jar of jelly beans, and two of them were poisoned. You know, were poisoned.
There's only autistic kids.
And he was basically making the argument that this is why we have to lock down. Because he goes, wouldn't you just not eat the jelly beans? Like, if there's two poison ones in there, wouldn't you just not have them? And then this guy, Tom Woods, I know, is like this brilliant historian. He goes, he was like, well, look, I mean, if you want to make the odds better, the odds are like, you know, if you get the, it's like a 99%-something survival, right? So make the odds now. He goes, and now make the jelly beans represent your dreams, your life, your family, your everything.
Suck.
He goes, dude, if there were 99 jelly beans and one poison one in there, and those jelly beans represented everything I've worked for my family, for my life, for my business, for my country, my community, he goes, I would eat those jelly beans without hesitation.
Take the chance.
Without hesitation, I would.
Because, so, I mean, the jelly beans are the same as getting in a car and going to work.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm taking a chance.
No, and again, I don't mean to like, like when I say this, obviously there are like, the world is a riskier place because of COVID. But you're just making the point that we, with a lot of other areas, we take for granted that we accept risk in life. And we don't give up on life for the threat of risk.
Yeah.
But the other, like, to the thing you said before, which maybe we could transition into that,
right. Yeah.
Is, like, to me, literally one of the craziest things, maybe the craziest thing that I've ever seen in my life, the corporate press and the establishment try to pull off, was the moment when the Black Lives Matter protests first erupted. And this was coming right off the heels of three months, of Americans giving up everything, giving up our entire way of life. And everyone, and literally it was 2 days after they were writing horror stories about teens at the beach in Georgia or wherever. Oh my God, this is going to spread and it's going to kill. You're killing grandma. You don't care about any of this. And then all of a sudden, this George Floyd guy dies. These massive fucking protests erupt. And we're cool with it.
Say, no, you have, that's an excuse. That's an excuse to go out there and protest.
Well, you know what? It's fucking racism. And then epidemiologists are signing on to the idea that, yeah, you know what? I mean, we think that racism is such a health issue that it's okay to go protest racism. Now, I'm sorry, but you have just spent 3 months being serious, follow the scientists people to the American, to the society. And now you have exposed yourselves as political actors. Now, you can feel however you feel about racism and how big a problem it is. But that is not an epidemiologist's scientific point of view. You can't tell someone, you just ask someone to not have a funeral for their father. And now you're going to say, no, but this is really important.
And also they didn't say, if you're super high risk or if you're around anyone who's high risk, you definitely cannot go.
Well, but not even just that. The whole point was they were saying, the whole mentality through the 3 months of the lockdown was like, no, it doesn't matter if you're high risk or not. Because you could pass
street.
It along, yeah. And all this. So, but now all of a sudden, that's supposed to be okay?
So here's when I know what we were lost. When science started getting involved in not just this, but in general, when they weren't just like, here's my finding. Here's my findings. I don't care. It's just, here's my finding. Because if you're a scientist now and you need to get money for a grant for your research, and they go, what do you think about genders? And they go, I mean, science, and I don't know all this stuff, but they go, science says there's two genders. You have a penis or you have a vagina, or you have both a penis and a vagina, and then we have a separate term for that, but it's a small whatever.
Right.
They say that, it's like, well, you're going to get attacked, and then no one's going to want to give you money for your research on lung cancer.
Yep.
So now you have to just either keep your mouth shut about science. There was a professor who got fired for using in China. You hear every like fucking two sentences, you hear the word nigga, nigga, nigga. And I think it means and. every comic who goes to China comes back with that same joke. Like they were dropping the N-bomb all the time. This guy got fired. He's a fucking, I think, speaking in Mandarin. And he got fired for it sounding too close to this. And he's like, so what do you mean, not use Chinese? I don't. But so it's like the idea. It's like, yeah, once science backs down to that,
science
then we're fucked.
Completely politicized.
Yeah.
Oh, and the one other issue just before we get into the Black Lives Matter, because I just did think this was so important too. But the other thing that's just really, really creepy about this whole follow the science thing is that it's like follow the science, but, and this is to your point, but the acceptable science. Because what happens is then there'll be some other doctors who are like, hey, we think the lockdowns are all wrong. And this should, look, there was this video of the doctors out in California who said we need to end the lockdowns. This is bad for people's health. That video got fucking taken down off of fucking YouTube and keeps getting taken down as people repost it. There was that woman who was a very accredited epidemiologist who put out that documentary, the coronavirus hoax or whatever it was called, got taken down off everything. Dude, I have a private group for the people who supporting listeners that part of the problem. Mm-hmm. It never used to happen. Every single day I get a notification now because I'm the moderator of that group. Fake news was posted in your group and has been removed because it's something challenging the COVID, you know, official narrative. And just to give people,
it's weird because we don't know enough about it. So it's like, there's obviously fake news.
Look,
like
aspirin
will cure it.
They might
be
wrong, but they also might be right. Look, there was a doctor who put out this video in, I believe it was late March, early April, who put out this video, got a lot of heat for it, where he was saying the ventilators are killing people. And they said, oh, this guy's a conspiracy theorist. And it's like, well, look, he could have been wrong at the time.
Right.
But turns out he was right. Turns out he was fucking right and they were fucking killing people. So is this really what you want science to become? You want science to be, well, whatever we decide the official narrative is the narrative. And no other doctor can now give you his opinion?
Remember A Few Good Men?
Uh-huh.
And they were like, it's Nicholson. And we got to go after Nicholson. And they're both looking at each other like, he's a general. Our finding is that that's the guy who killed him. Can we go after, like, where we, and I think science has the same thing. It's like, here's our finding. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
This finding is going to get us in a lot of trouble.
And so, and then most people go with the, you know, they go along to get along. That's how most people are.
The last time I saw a science fight back was NHS, the British cell system. Mm-hmm. I think they did a study on obesity is linked to cancer. They find there's a direct correlation. And someone who's got more politically minded, woke, whatever you want to call it, chubby comic, got really mad. He was like, how dare you, fat shame and whatever. And NHS, they got a little push, and NHS caught wind of it. And they're like, hey, I'm sorry if it upsets you, but like, the finding is there's a correlation. And it, like, you can go ahead and be fat, but your odds are higher. Right. And by the way, if we don't publish that, it doesn't mean your odds aren't higher of getting cancer. It's still the same, whether we found it or not. Before we knew about lard being bad for you, it was still bad for you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You eat butter fucking 7 meals a day. It's still bad for you, whether you know about it or not.
This is like one of the weird things that underlies the kind of wokeism, where it's like, well, look, there is objective reality, and science's job is to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm sorry, it's not all made to, like, comfort your preconceived ideas.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, like, trying to, like, confirm your worldview. We're trying to figure out what's real. But so, anyway, to the thing, you know, you wanted to get into, but I did think that that was a really just, you know, there are times,
I've
seen lots of examples in my life since I've been paying attention to all this shit, where the media will contradict a narrative that they had beforehand, you know, and usually it'll be like 2 years later and you're like, but remember 2 years ago they were saying that, but no one really cares. But this was like 3 days later. Like, they had just been trying to scare you about 20-year-olds going to the beach. And then they're oh, it's okay for 100,000 people to be in this mass protest.
And you know what's interesting about that? What I saw a lot of is people quoting the news articles that support their own interests.
Mm-hmm.
So business owners were way more on the this is a hoax thing, or masks don't help, or the economy is important, or people are committing suicide left and right, all those stories. The old people were like, everyone's got to stay home. This is killing everybody. Shut down the businesses. I'm retired. Doesn't affect me at all.
Yes.
Shut down the businesses. And it was weird that there's not a central, like, here's just the news.
Yes.
You can't apply it to your case or not. It's just the news, and we don't have that anymore.
Well, there was also this really weird dynamic through all the
lockdowns.
I read an
article that said this guy said this. Like, well, and what about the rest?
And we should transition off the lockdowns, but there was this really weird dynamic through all the lockdowns where you'd see kind of like, and this is probably the most been made point, you know, but we'd see like the celebrities, like we're all in this together. And you're like, dude,
fuck you.
Come on, man. You live in a fucking mansion. You're financially secure for life. You are not in the same position
that
as somebody. I mean, just
that's another part of the State of the Union. that celebrities having no relation to what human life is.
And it's just been exposed in some really profound, weird ways. And then something about the fact that they all basically became podcasters on TV, and you would just see them basically have the same setup we have, and how bad,
how terrible they are.
You're like, oh, you really can't do this.
Without their writers.
You can't. You need the live audience. You need the writers. You need the set. You need everything.
You saw, I set all this up on my own. Yes. I didn't even have a fucking guy doing this. I mean, I didn't set it up, but when you turn it on like that,
when that's what you do, you find a way to make this entertaining, because otherwise people aren't going to listen to it. But when you're used to having all those props and then you lose them and you see this thing, but dude, when they'd be out there. I mean, look, I say for myself, and I've been saying this on my podcast from the beginning of it. I go, look, I'm in a situation where I'm very fortunate. Like, I am able to fucking make a living off podcasting, and I can do that through the lockdown, and I can support my family off that.
Sure.
I'm lucky. One of the lucky Americans right now. But, you know, like, I
feel that way too, even though my main industry is completely eviscerated.
Yes. But you know what? You're still doing pretty well, and you're in, and you're
breaking
fine,
even.
And you're, you know, you're like living your life. Now, I have a fucking wife and daughter to support.
Quite breaking even. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a wife and daughter to support, but I'm like, okay, well, thankfully, I'm still able to take care of them. But I try to put myself in the situation. Like, imagine there's like, you know, imagine you got three kids and you and your wife, you know, own a diner.
By.
Or something like that. And all of a sudden you're done.
Yeah.
And you're waiting on this fucking
check. Horrible.
Like, holy shit. And there's lots of people like that. And then to have some fucking celebrity in your mansion, we're all in this together. You fucking
come live with us,
prick.
Yeah, they were such
cunts.
We're
not all in this together.
Remember the Imagine song they're all sang together to, like,
right.
Like, how is this helping who? It's not even an artistic thing. Like, fucking, what's his name? Post Malone, I think, did like Nevermind. It was like with people from all over. Like, that was just interesting on its own. It wasn't like to rise us up. It
sure,
was just like,
sure.
Here's an excuse to do something cool. But like, some of these guys, I'm like, you guys fucking suck.
Well,
you
like,
all
you
fucking
wanna,
suck.
If you want to do something, start giving your money away to people who, like, I mean, Jesus Christ, like that. Or just
it's
don't,
a, it's the same
or
as
just
every
don't
election.
Do what you want to do.
The same as every election, the celebrities come and tell us what we need to do. And it's like, you don't relate to us at all. Here's some things, here's some realities. It's horrible. The coronavirus situation has been horrible. No matter which side you take or how sure. we handle it, it's going to be bad for tons of different people. Lose their parents. People lose their fucking – that guy from Broadway died. He was healthy. It's like, yeah. Shit happens. And then there's interesting moments of like how people handle it. Like, I haven't heard anyone. I know I live in a bubble of Manhattan. I haven't heard anyone give it up for the government, be that Trump or whoever, for that $600. That $600, we all thought – you got to remember, March 23rd, we all thought I need an axe for the inside of my door because they're going to come door to door, home invading, mm-hmm. when the resources run out. And it's been a party here. And that $600 a week was a massive thing
yeah.
to get people okay. Now, here's an interesting thing the other way. I know somebody in Wyoming who is an asthmatic, who's a high-risk person, and they were like, hey, we're opening up the state again. Come back to work at a restaurant. And she's like, well, I'm at a high-risk situation. You asked me to be with customers. And I'm like, okay, then don't. But you will lose that $600. And so it's like, oh, I have to enter into a place where I have to risk my life way higher now. Or
yeah.
It's just like we haven't really done
no,
it. Our response
up,
has been terrible.
No, it's a fucked up situation. And, of course, particularly if the government's going to, you know, shut down the economy, then, of course, they have to give people something. I mean, you can't, like, make it illegal for someone to work and not compensate them for that.
Freezing the rents.
But there's also, like, you know, look, there's lots of different things that they could have done, but instead they chose, like I said before, to use this money to bail out all these
people.
But
the Lakers have some extra cash.
But there's also a real problem with, you see these dynamics, right? Like, it's not a coincidence. I saw the other day there were these protests, teachers protesting in New York City to open the schools back up.
I saw them
because they're worried, mm-hmm. you know, that, oh my God, they're going to transmit COVID, so we want to stay home. Now, teachers are going to get paid their full salary, whether they open up or not. So it is not a coincidence that you see the teachers protesting to not open up and the small business owners protesting to open up. And there's a little bit of an incentive problem there. So, like, if you were to hypothetically say, okay, teachers, you don't open up, but you make half your salary.
Right. If now, you don't open what up, will you do?
Now you start to find out, how do you really feel about this? How many of you still want to protest this? Because there should
what be about even 70% of your
there yeah. should be some skin in the game if you're going to say so. Now, of course,
I know somebody in Germany. My friend was in Germany, and he lost his job, and they have a year of unemployment at 80% of your salary. And I was like, oh, it sucks, but at least unemployment. Are you going to look for a job? And he goes, maybe you didn't hear me. I am getting 80 cents on the dollar for doing nothing. Yes. I will wait for 11 and a half months, and then I will get a job.
And think about what that actually comes out to, even when you just think about, like, gas and, like, oh, buying yeah,
exactly.
lunch and shit like that. It's probably closer to 90, and you don't have to work.
Xbox all day. Yeah.
So, you know, like, there's a real problem
you're right,
with
you're right.
incentives.
Yeah. Let's we got to move on from
Black
Corona, because it's going to be this.
Black
and I still want to get to the media and Black Lives Matter. Sure, let's get to Black Lives Matter. So one of the, I'll segue with the way people quote their own stuff into Black Lives Matter, because in L.A., people are like, oh, yeah, you go out and protest, and then there's spikes. Of course. And you're like, well, no, it wasn't happening on the beaches. You were saying it was okay before. And the spikes didn't happen in New York with our Black Lives Matter protests. You guys are still refusing to say it's because you never stopped going to movie theaters.
Well, quite possibly. But it also, on the other end of it, if those fucking protests here in New York didn't lead to spiking numbers, that to me kind of indicates that the restriction should be over and we should go back to life as normal. I mean, if that isn't leading to spiking numbers, then don't tell me it's okay to go out and do these big
How about
protests.
Something where it's like, if you can do sidewalk service, do sidewalk service. For the people who can't, like a gym, we'll figure out a way to like handle that well, but it's case by case.
How about, I mean, look, my thing is just like, kind of like, let people assess their own fucking risk and do what they want to fucking do. Let people have fucking freedom, and you know what? There'll be some problems attached to it, but there's way bigger problems attached to having some tiny little group of people called the state dictate fair. What other supposedly free people can do.
Fair.
Now, I'll say with the Black Lives Matter
Let's
thing,
do
and,
that.
The, and this is one thing that I think is, like, I try to talk about this a lot, but it's really kind of crazy to me that people don't even see it this
yeah.
way. But this whole Black Lives Matter mass protests slash riots slash craziness is all directly related to the lockdowns. I mean, it's not
well,
unrelated.
No, people say it. People are like, even that side is like almost, not thank God, but like luckily it came out at this time where people are so mad about this other thing that we could shift that anger into this.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say luckily or not, but the idea that, you know, people were just so angry about that George Floyd guy getting
George
killed.
Floyd gets killed in January. None of this happens.
Yes. I'm sorry. That's right. And to even think like, wait, is it just a coincidence that it I mean, like, cops have been killing people for fucking ever, you know, and there's always incidents
it's
like
the video.
This
was tough.
Yeah, but there's been brutal fucking videos of cops killing people before, and there's been incidents like this. And this led to not like one or two little protests, to mass protests all around the world. And in some way, I think that, or all around the country, I should say. And in some ways, I think that was almost like a wake up call to realize, like, yeah, you know what? Society's fucking fragile. Like, it's fragile. And you fucking, like, you terrified people, you fucking took their jobs away from them, you took their sports, the bar, their friend's house, everything, kept them pent up for months and fucking in a state of anxiety over their economic future, anxiety over getting sick, all these things.
Yeah.
And then there was a fucking little spark.
It's like, I'm so fucking mad.
And this was the excuse to let it all out.
Can I make a comparison?
Let it all out.
So I was dating a chick. And her job was shitty. She had an old Mustang convertible with a tear on the top, and it was like the shitty years of the Mustang. And it was just like her job was bad, her career wasn't going that well, her car was shitty. And then she was like, "I think I got to break up with you." And I wanted to be like, "This is good. That all is bad, and you're putting all that shittiness on this." But yeah. Like, this is the only good part of it,
right?
And it was like, you can't separate. It's like, I'm mad, and it's like, but why? It's like, I don't know. But you'll do.
There's got to be somewhere to let it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like if you fucking... Well, it's kind of like if you have like, you know, a fucking, you know, like a water balloon or something filled with water and you pop a little hole. It's like, well, there's the weak spot. So that's where it's all fucking coming out.
Or if you're grieving over the sixth best Laker of all time and then some comedian makes fun of him, then you're like, they'll get my rage.
I don't really see that analogy.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't think you should ever make fun of a dead Laker. That's pretty fucked up. That just seems like crossing the line to me. I don't know. I don't believe in like dark humor.
Oh, really?
Like that.
Wow.
Like,
well, all right, man. That's
I
fair.
Like the edgy stuff.
That's totally fair.
But
that's why you're on Legion of Sharks.
Sure. It's a great show. People come in, they pitch their businesses. We tell them whether we're in.
Catch Dave on his podcast, Part of the Solution with Dave Smith, where they just discuss, you know, great stuff about the world.
Yeah, that's me. But so it did. So this thing blew up in a crazy way, and it had really the full backing of the establishment. And when I say that, I just mean that, like, the entire corporate press, like, kind of cheered on the Black Lives Matter movement, and politicians were happy. I mean, like, I'm not saying, like, Mitt Romney was marching with Black Lives Matter. Like, even the, like, standard old Republican
guy. NFL, we're on board.
Sports, academia, Hollywood, like, the entire establishment was with this movement, which is kind of an interesting dynamic.
It is.
On the left in general, where they always feel like they're anti-establishment, but you kind of look around and you're like, but who's the establishment?
I mean, maybe the first year, maybe 2013 or 2014 of when we did this, yes. It was like, oh, yeah, you vote for gay rights now because 80% of the population supports gay marriage, but you voted against it when
it was
40% supported it. So it's like, you don't really care. You're just doing it. Yeah. And part of it's like, politicians should follow the people. It's like, okay, but like, you're saying that's your belief.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So your belief just matches with everybody else, which also there's like, for a lot of white people, it was like, oh shit! I didn't know some of this stuff was as bad.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, look, dude. I'm like, you know, I'm a fucking.
It's fair to reexamine things. That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I also like, I've fucking always had major problems with the police. I mean, I don't believe in government at all, and I think that there's a real problem. The basic problem with government in general is that they're a monopoly on violence.
Government.
And so the government in general, it's a monopoly on legal violence, I should say. So like, no one else can use violence legally. Now, other people use violence, but if you do, there are consequences. You get in trouble for it. Government has the monopoly on legal violence. So if you if you steal from somebody else, you can go to jail for that. There's consequences. If the government can just tax. They call it tax instead of stealing, and they can take whatever they want. If you kill someone else, you know, you fucking.
And they'll be like, but we're taxing you. You need the roads. They're like, yeah, but I don't want the gun there, the tank. And it's like, give it to me anyway.
Yeah. So sorry. Give me the money. Now, of course, right. So it's not like it. Now, if something, you know, it's not like any other business, right? Any other interaction with anyone else besides the government, it's a voluntary interaction. So if you want to buy a shirt, you're like, I'll give you this money for this shirt. And they can't be like, well, no, we're going to force you to pay for this tank also. You go, nope, just want the shirt or no deal. I don't need to get a shirt. I can get it somewhere else. With the government, everything's by force. And it becomes, you know, it's a monopoly. So this is why you end up getting bad service in general because they fucking... I mean, like, I don't know, if I had some business and I could force you to pay me and there was no one else in the business of what I do, I probably wouldn't have great service because there's no reason to have.
Look at any cable provider.
Yes, or internet provider. Monopoly breeds shitty service. Now, the cops are the monopoly on the enforcement of the laws of the government. So there's a lot of fucking problems there. You get, like, I mean, dude, they can do things that if anybody else did, it would be, like, a heinous crime. And, I mean, forget even when they, like, kill somebody. Just what they do every fucking day. Like, if you just, like, stopped some car and, like, me and you and two of our other friends walked around with guns on our hip and just circled around them and started, like, fucking intimidating them, you'd be like, that's a crime right there. You can't do that to people. So they commit what are considered crimes by us normal people every day. And they can harass people. They can essentially kidnap people, you know, bring them into jail.
So what is this? I'm sorry, go ahead. Keep
going. No, I'm just saying in general, I understand why people are pissed at cops.
Right.
Like, I really, like, I have a lot of problems with cops.
I do a joke about it sometimes where I'm like, tongue in cheek. I'm like, white people hate cops too. We got tickets.
Well, look, white people we don't want those. Shot by the cops. See, this is my...
it's the binary situation where it's like, it's all them hurt, none of them hurt. And you're like, it's not quite like that.
Well, my friend Scott Horton is a really fucking brilliant guy. He's the editor at antiwar.com.
Okay.
If you're interested in him.
Keep talking.
But he's like a really bleeding heart. Huh, what'd you say?
Keep talking. I would be interested.
Do you have another one of these? Or is that the... Oh, yeah, I'll have some of that. So he's like a real bleeding heart libertarian, really hates the cops, hates the war on drugs, really fucking hates, you know... he does a lot, like writes about like racist cops and shit like that. And what he said about Black Lives Matter was that they really fucked up by calling it Black Lives Matter. and kind of creating this kind of racial component to it that was in just in its nature going to pit people against each other. And what he always said, which I thought was kind of like was really a good point, was he goes, they should have called Black Lives Matter Accountability for Killer Cops.
Yes.
And just pushed that and let someone try to argue with that. Here's what we stand for. We stand for one issue and one issue only, accountability for killer cops. And that really could have united a huge group of people behind it. And instead, they call it Black Lives Matter, which kind of almost suggests to some white people that it's not your problem. Then to other white people, it suggests that, well, you would have no idea what this is like. You know what I mean? And it ended up being this kind of divisive thing unnecessarily.
Yeah, I'm giving you the Joe Rogan one, and I'll take the Homeland Security one.
Oh, Joe Rogan experience. I will take that. Yeah. And we now know what side you're on. Homeland Security. I stand with the Joe Rogan experience.
If they called it anti-killer cops. So, you know, one of the big turning points for me, what I saw, was that dude in Buffalo. An older man, mm-hmm. looked like an old guy, got pushed over, cracked his skull open by some cops marching. And the backstory is they told those cops, like, anyone in your way, shove them over. Mm-hmm. Just get them out of the way. So then they were like, how can you put those people on leave when they were told by their superiors to, that's what they're supposed to be doing?
The old man started, like, bleeding out of his
head. Yeah, and he's fucked up forever.
Yeah.
But when people saw that, then they could get behind, fuck these cops who push people around instead of fuck these cops who push my friend Monroe Martin around or someone like that. Instead of it's about black people, it's about people.
Well, look.
That white old man made a bunch of white people go, I can get involved. They're fucking with everybody.
Yes. Well, look. I mean, the truth is that, right, if you actually look at it, there's about twice as many white people get killed by the cops every year as black people. Mm-hmm. But black people are only like 13% of the population, so it's if you just look at it in terms of the population, it's disproportionate to black people. But it still is happening twice as much to white people. And then you have to take into account other factors, like there's more police interactions in high crime areas. A lot of those end up being black areas. So, like, there's several factors. But the point is, this is not something exclusively happening to black people. Now, I certainly understand from some black people's perspective, given the history of this country, and cops have really fucked them over a lot, where they would feel this kind of like, oh, and what a coincidence, we're disproportionately being fucked over again. But it just seems to me it's unnecessary and inaccurate and unhelpful to make the central issue of this race. The central issue is that someone got their fucking rights violated by the cops. This was a fucked up thing to happen. There are videos of cops doing horrific things to fucking white people. And to me, instead of like lecturing white people about how you don't know how bad black people have it, I'd say if you want it, like, strategically show them those videos and go, look, they'll do the same shit to you.
The methodology is it doesn't get like the anti-rape jokes, you know. It's like, I always want to be like, look, I almost understand what you're saying, but you have to understand your tactics are not resulting in less rape jokes. Your tactics are resulting in more rape jokes.
Now
so like, you could say like, well, I don't care. It's like, but you do care. That's why you're talking about it.
You're claiming to care.
Yeah. So let's work on your tactics.
Well, look,
to tell a Trump supporter that you're a fucking idiot is not going to get them to not be a Trump supporter.
And also that maybe they're not an idiot.
Well, there's that,
like,
too.
Like, maybe they're not an idiot. It's like, maybe they're responding to something that you're not thinking of. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're right. Maybe you're wrong.
It's like, it's like Jews support Trump because he's good for Israel. They're single-issue voters. And you want to be like, you're racist. And you're like, nah, it's not that. I don't care about abortion. I don't care about any of this stuff. Just who's better for Israel.
Right. And, well, there's a certain percentage of Jews who do that. It's not the majority.
No, I know.
Jews,
the Hasidic ones or whatever. But yeah.
Look at the Black Lives Matter, the organization, right, which is different, like not everyone marching in the streets a member of this organization. In fact, the vast, vast majority are not. But the organization is like this really crazy, straight up, like, Marxist organization. And if you go to their website, it's like they have like these, like, it's like, forget how many, like 10 or 15 bullet points of what they want.
Tenets,
and like the first two, you'd like, me and you would totally be for. Like the first two is like accountability for killer cops, like end the war on drugs, you know, and you'd be like, yeah, I'm right there with you. And then it goes off into some goofy shit. Like, it's like abolish the nuclear family, protect plant life. Like, there's like wild, weird, crazy leftist shit that like most people are not on board with. And there, those people have an influence over the movement, you know? And then there's, like, there's people who just are, like, sick of fucking police brutality in the movement. And then there's people who, like, just wanted to get outside and do something and be a part of a cause. Then there's the people who just want a virtue signal. And then there's the fucking violent people. And that's been a real fucking problem, too. And it's ended up, like...
The violent people.
The violence has really ended up coloring this movement because you can't... You can't ignore it. There's been far too much of it to just go like, you know, like the media
violent
forever,
protests.
The media forever was like, they're largely peaceful protests. This isn't happening. It's fine. It's not a problem. And then even Joe Biden had to come out and give a speech about it and be like, yeah, guys, the violence is a really big problem. You have to stop doing it. But it's all Trump's fault. But the violence is a really big problem.
I mean,
there's
a bike shop in my neighborhood, small bike shop. Before this happened, I was like, I got to get a bike to go, you know, get around. I didn't want to touch the city bikes, you know, when I thought that's how you could get it. And there was a sign in his door and said, you guys got everything last night. I have nothing left. I don't have insurance. You hit me hard. And it just was like, fuck, that guy didn't do anything. That guy wasn't shooting anybody.
It's fucking horrible, man. And this and that's happened like all around the fucking country. I mean, there's been these areas. They've been fucking destroyed, dude.
I think there's a misconception.
Was fucking just wrecked,
I think there's a misconception, though, that it was like in some people's minds, like Black Lives Matter as a movement decided we're going to go riot. When the reality is a lot of just white dudes in the suburbs like, hey, I think they're looting. Let's go get ourselves a surfboard. Yeah. Or the white chick.
And some black dudes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm just saying it's people like. We're not doing this for the cause. We're doing this because there's looting.
Yeah. Well, I also, I don't
because disagree. I can get it.
I don't disagree with you completely. I mean, there's a lot of that. The thing is, when you have a thing that's what makes you a part of Black Lives Matter, the movement, you say Black Lives Matter and you go join one of their marches. So it's hard to judge a thing. I mean, is that technically Black Lives Matter? Well, I don't know, but they are graffitiing Black Lives Matter over the place as they destroy the fucking store. They are screaming Black Lives Matter as they soccer kick some old man on the ground.
So
they'll listen. I'm not saying there's a lot of peaceful protesters too, but there's a lot of that shit going on. It's not like, okay, there's a march of 100,000 people and two people got into a fist fight and now I'm trying to paint the whole thing as this fist fight. I'm saying that every single night in cities across the country, these things are turning violent. There's fucking violence in Portland going on right now still.
Yeah.
It's been like fucking 60 days of fucking riots going on throughout the country. That is a problem. And if you're going to talk about Black Lives Matter, you can't like remove that from it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, look, if someone sort of, but it's almost like where do you put your focus,
dude? If someone said if they were talking about the alt-right Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, and they go, "Oh my god," but there was this fucking violence. This chick got killed. There was all these fucking people saying the Jews will not replace us. And you go, "Yeah." But you're only judging it by the people who did that. There was also these people. The real alt-right are the people who just didn't want the statue torn down. It's like, well, no. I'm sorry. That shit is part of it.
It's become part of your cause.
And now
or it's control like, your people.
It's, well, then you have to. Or stop. If it's getting this bad, then you have to stop and regroup. Because as fucked up as
all. But that's really just. That's okay. Go ahead.
Well, as fucked up as all the police brutality is, like that doesn't make it okay what happened to this guy at the bike store.
Okay.
There's been fucking dozens of murders in these fucking riots, dude. Like
that's the craziest
okay.
thing. Like a person got killed. Four others got killed to try to say that killing was wrong.
But it's more than four at this point. There was four just in fucking like in Seattle. I mean, like there's this is like.
But what we're talking about is really the protests and not the cause, right? We're saying the protests were handled badly. And also, by the way, this also goes back to what I was saying. American sports people are dumb for the most part. Yeah. American feminists are dumb. American like nationalists are dumb. We're not talking about Cornel West being out there deciding how to do a protest.
No, but the
we're
Cornel
talking about
West...
somebody who is not educated on how to do it. He's like, yeah. I'll decide. Let's get a target. You're like, that's not – fuck, you're not – you shouldn't be making this.
Sure. Well, look, I thought we did kind of talk about the causes. I mean, as I see it, it's like the cause are essentially – the causes were really the lockdowns and the fucking fact that there's a lot of hostilities toward police because you basically have this – supposed security force that is imposed on you. You don't have a choice whether they're your security force or not. If you don't like the job they're doing, you have no recourse. They fucking go around fucking policing for profit, arresting people for bullshit, and in many cases, you know, like assaulting and sometimes even killing people, and often with impunity. Well, and often get away with it. So people were furious about this, and they were pent up from the lockdowns, and it exploded in this energy, but it's largely been very destructive, and they've really, I think, blown it. I think they had a fucking great opportunity. Possibly.
Yeah, you need to stay real peaceful. So there was a guy who was just fired, actually, a political analyst for the left.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got? What time is it?
It's 7 now.
Okay. I guess 35 minutes, 40 minutes. And he quoted an article from the Nixon era and saying the best way to get something from your cause is to – he just analyzed this other guy from the Nixon era. The new guy quoted it, and he was like really sought after with his autistic level of fucking breaking down statistics and everything. The best way to get your cause, there's different ways to get it. One of the worst ways is to be violent with nothing in return. One of the best ways is to have complete peace that is met with violence. Kent State. Nobody took the other Martin side Luther on King. Kent State. Sure, absolutely. And people are like, oh, dude, what the? And it got a lot of change, got a lot of stuff going. And they said that in the Nixon times, some of the violent protests actually swayed 2% of Democratic voters towards Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So the result was, and people fired him because the outrage was, how dare you tell us how to react to this? He goes, oh, I'm not. I'm just telling you what it will result in. I'm just quoting stats. And now he has a job that he's not allowed to say where he works.
Jeez.
Because they'll come after it again, which is another thing I'd love to get into. But, the point is, the best way to get your, if you did want to like run it correctly, if you could go back to, you know, mid-May or whenever it was, to be like, hey, so here's how we're all going to do it.
Yes.
It would be like, but keep your hands in your pocket.
And here's the thing, right? As somebody who, like, I really fucking hate the police state mm-hmm. in America. I hate the fucking war on drugs. I fucking hate the attitude that so many fucking cops have as they enforce these bullshit rules and just ruin people's lives. I hate the fucking militarization of the police and how they all have these fucking, you know, like toys from the Defense Department and shit. And I think there's like a huge problem there. And you had a situation where right wingers in America, for one of the first times in my life, were getting really fucking furious with the cops. Because the right-wingers were pretty much on the side of open everything up. And they're being locked down. And guess who's enforcing the lockdowns? It's the fucking cops. The cops are the ones who are shutting their businesses down. The cops are the ones who are forcing this shit. You know, they're the ones. And they're like, holy shit, the government's infringing on the Constitution and all this. And the police are supporting them. And then you add this video of the fucking George Floyd thing. With this cop sitting on this black guy's neck.
When you see a video, it's like,
hands, you know, hands handcuffed, face down on the fucking ground, just sitting there for 9 fucking minutes in this very seemingly callous way. And I'll tell you, my father-in-law, who's like he's like a Republican, like Fox News watching, Trump supporter, you know, kind of typical Republican father-in-law. And he told me, I remember talking to him the day after the George Floyd video came out, and he goes, that cop and all of the cops there should have been put in handcuffs on television. They should all be tried for murder or accessory to murder. Like, I think there were a lot of Republican-leaning guys who were like, hey, fuck that. Like, you really actually had an opportunity to unite people around this message and get some traction going. And then when they see fucking mass riots, looting, assaults, murders, you know what all those fucking Fox News watching right-wingers said? Well, if it wasn't for the cops, like, they're the only thing that stands between us and this. So the cops better crack down on this shit. And you know what? I get where they're coming from. And I'm somebody who's not a fan of fucking cops. But I get where, if you see people fucking destroying a city, you go, I want the cops to stop this.
Yeah, now, if a white chick threw a Molotov cocktail into a police van, didn't go off, with mm-hmm. four cops in there, and it's like, yeah, they're going to arrest her. And they did, and she'll probably never get out of jail.
But they let her, you know, they let the mobs, and this is part of the reason that I fucking hate the cops, right, is that you'd see, like, they'd bring this violence to the peaceful protests. They'd spray, you know, they'd fucking tear gas them and pepper, rubber bullets shoot into them and shit. And then when there'd be violent mobs, they'd pretty much stand down. and let them fucking do what they want to do.
It almost seemed like the same as
Macy's.
It almost seemed like the Zuccomati Park, where they were like, remember the stories of like cops going undercover and starting fights, so officer in uniforms could go and say, hey, they're being violent, we got to break it up. It seemed like there's some shady shit going on with that too.
There probably were, but I've seen at this point, because it's been going on for so long, I mean, I've seen hundreds of videos of this shit, and let me just say, some of the people in these videos doing the violence, they ain't cops. Like,
see the cops destroying their own cars, cop cars, so they could, like...
Yeah, look, I'm sure there are examples of stuff like that.
But what is
like
that?
This happened. Well, because this... Look, if the whole country's getting pissed off at cops, what's happened here is the best thing that could happen for them. Because people see this. Most normal people see that shit, and they go, I think that should be stopped.
However, so what's a better way? So what's a better way to slow down the disproportionate percentage of abuse towards, people of color versus white people? And it's not just, well, it's in these neighborhoods, but the result is if you're a cop who's in a mostly black, mostly poor neighborhood, you start to be like, these fucking blacks.
Well, sure. And I mean...
And then you take it out on somebody who's like, I'm just going to school.
You can't...
Even the shootings. I mean, just like... remember Stop and Frisk? Uh-huh. And it was like, it's actually doing its job, right? It's actually getting less violence. But there's some Latino guy who's just like, I've never committed a crime, and I'm getting stopped all the time. It makes me feel like a fucking second-class citizen.
Well, you got to be really honest about what's, like, fucking going on, and that's tough to do nowadays because you're going to get called every name in the book if you are, especially if you're a white guy who's going to be try to be honest about what's going on. But, like, I don't really give a shit about that because I've already called all those names, and it doesn't really have much of an effect on me. But so I think what's going on here, right, is that if you're going to talk about this shit, I just think that there's no way to honestly talk about it without going, well, look, here's the situation, right? There's a violence problem amongst police. There's also a violence problem amongst black men in America today. And this is just undeniable. Like, black men, you know, if you want to talk about disproportionate...
Percentages you're talking about.
Yes. Okay. I'm saying, if you want to talk about disproportionate violence happening to black men from police...
I can already see. I love hearing the liberal side people. You think all black men are violent? And you're like, he's not saying that.
Well, but again, you're just playing the same game that the cop defenders play where you go, well, it's just a few bad apples or whatever like that. It's like, no, we're talking about... If you can talk about disproportionate violence from cops to black people...
Which I do have Muslims, too.
Right. If you can talk about that, you're not saying all cops. You're saying that the numbers, the large trend is this. Well, then you also have to look at the violent crime that's being committed by black men, particularly in these high crime areas. And what happens is that, yeah, I think anybody who's in charge of dealing with that crime, if there's one group of people who you see over and over again committing these crimes, you start to... You know, it's just a natural human tendency that you're going to start looking at those people as the ones who you suspect to be criminal. Now, that again, like you said before, that really still sucks for the black guy who's not a fucking violent criminal. And there's lots of those. Yeah. In fact, lots more than violent criminals. So, like, it's a complicated problem. But what you would want to do...
But too many dummies like, I know the answer. It's like, it's super in-depth.
Right. Well, what you would want to do if you were Black Lives Matter, to me, is you would want to, number one, like kind of what we were saying before, like you'd want to not create an environment that's going to turn a lot of people off from what it is you're doing. So what you'd want to do is like, look, I don't even think, again, I don't think you should make the central issue race because, by the way, it really isn't.
It seems like All Lives Matter is almost a better slogan for them to get everyone to be like, our lives matter, or something like that.
Yeah, well, the whole... It's just such a stupid argument back and forth.
Anytime
and
you boil something down to a hashtag, it's so you can have volumes written on an issue, and you boil it down to a hashtag, it's like, of course it's not going to tell the whole story. It's going to be misleading. All cops are bastards. Like, I'm not a bastard. Like, we don't mean that. I'm like, it sounds like you mean all cops are bastards. If I'm a cop, you're saying I'm a bastard. Like, no, we're not. I'm like, well, it's very confusing.
It's all stupid. Like, I think it was stupid to call it Black Lives Matter. I think it's stupid to say all lives matter as a dismiss of Black Lives Matter. I think it's stupid for Black Lives Matter to then say, no, fuck you, all lives matter. It's Black Lives Matter. Like, every one of you could handle this better at every single step. So Black Lives Matter could have just called themselves Accountability for Killer Cops and not made it a racial issue. Then the people, if you do call it Black Lives Matter, the people who go all lives matter could just not say, they could just say, I agree that Black Lives Matter, you know, and then Black Lives Matter in response to all lives matter, instead of getting offended, could go, absolutely. Of course all lives matter. And that's why Black Lives Matter. Like, this doesn't need to be a dumb fight over hashtags.
So this might
move us. Because none of this does anything for anyone. And the truth is, and people don't like fucking hearing this, but there isn't really any evidence, any strong evidence, to suggest that the killing of George Floyd was racially motivated.
Do you think the guy knew the guy?
I don't even fucking know. I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm just saying there's no reason to suspect that this was racially motivated. It was a cop and a guy he was trying to arrest who was fucking on drugs and being weird and was a whole fucking thing. But he still didn't need to fucking put him in handcuffs on the ground and put his knee on his neck for 9 minutes. And that's inexcusable. And so, like, fucking that guy needs to fucking be tried, which he's going to be. But
you knew about the white guy who, this guy, Florida, 36-year-old white man, offers his knee on his neck. During a 2018 arrest. What's his name? Comparison to George Floyd. Timothy Kaufman. Something like 18 minutes. White guy. Video. Same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you haven't heard about it.
Well, that's the thing is that
2018.
Like, look, even this thing, there was this...
That's not to say, like, to discount George Floyd, but I think it's more to your point, where it's like, guys, these people are taking too much power.
Yes, this is the issue.
He is under control. Even if you're going to arrest him, that George Floyd guy has been subdued. Put the cuffs on him.
Yes.
And get him into the car.
That's your job. You don't get to be fucking angry. And there's something Liz said. You don't get to get your vengeance
out. But it's like, I'm a human. Or maybe it's Oakerson, where he's like, I'm a human. So I'm like, this guy fucked me. I want to give him a couple shots. Like, I know, but we're trusting you with a gun. So you can't give him a couple shots.
Yeah, the whole
you got to have no emotion.
That's the whole job, is to not be that guy. That's literally what the job is supposed to be. You're supposed to be a peace officer. That's what we should have. And so, anyway, what you should do if you're Black Lives Matter is, number one, do a really good job of do your absolute best to police the violence and call it out loudly. Be against it. Don't pretend it's not fucking existing. Be against it. And if it gets too violent, stop. Stop protesting. Go, we're stopping because people are taking advantage of this. Because now, whether you like it or not, you're kind of giving cover for the people who are going to be coming around. And it's hurting your cause. So stop. What you want to do is stick to the core issue of police brutality. Don't go in the direction that they went in, which this is like what they fucking do, which is so fucking infuriating, right? Is that they go, because they are not all Marxists, but they're largely led and organized by hardcore leftists, a lot of them Marxists. And so they've got all these goofy fucking views. So they said in Minneapolis, right, where they've actually moved to like really slash the police budget and get all this shit going, and they had, they were meeting with community leaders and some of like the Black Lives Matter activists, and they said that they want them to stop referring to it as police brutality and start referring to it as systemic racism. And I was like, see, that's the fucking exact opposite.
That takes, so that takes
that's
out
the
this
dumbest
guy's,
shit.
That takes out this dude's case from Daytona,
sure,
where it's like, well, he's white, so that wouldn't count as a bad
thing? Well, so this is what they start doing. So instead of going, okay, we're going to take racism out of it and call this accountability for killer cops and actually try to make movement and get something tangible done, okay? Instead, they go, we're protesting racism, and we're just going to call it systemic racism. So now you make it the broadest, most undefinable buzzword that could mean anything and basically is telling all white people that you're guilty for everything. The problem isn't, you see, that there was this killer cop. The problem is that, like, white people's hearts and minds are in the wrong place or something, which is bullshit.
Original sin.
And can never be changed. And by the way, if you go look into critical race theory, which is basically the academic philosophy behind wokeism, this is what they believe. They believe that everything's white supremacy. That's the problem with everything. Like, it's really, this is real shit. But go, if you go read critical race theory,
it does become crazy.
It comes out of like postmodernism.
It does become crazy because I was having
everything's white
same
supremacy.
Discussion where you're
this,
like,
this
where
conversation
you're like,
is white supremacy. Yeah. Everything is
because we're in charge.
The nuclear family, that's white supremacy. Capitalism, that's white supremacy. The meritocracy, that's white supremacy. Having a conversation about this is also white supremacy. Like, it's this is what they believe, and this is. This destroys any chance of getting anything done because now you're just fighting. And then what ends up happening, right? And this is the really
– You can't even quote – so I can't even quote a female professor to a feminist because I'm the one saying it.
Yeah.
But I'm like – but I learned – so I can't even learn from a woman?
This comes from postmodernists. Their views are so goddamn goofy. I'm not exaggerating. This sounds like I'm making it up if you've never heard this, but go look into it. It's real. Logic doesn't exist. The fact that you're making an argument at all is just you trying to protect power. That's what they believe. They don't believe in objective reality. They don't believe in logic. They don't believe in any.
So if a white guy, power. If a white guy were to say black people only have been hurt by cops, no one else has been hurt by cops, that is also white supremacy because we're the ones saying it?
There's no such thing as the truth.
They're just like, just get
so
out of here.
It just doesn't matter. So they can use it. And look, here's the thing that I think people should like really like focus on, okay?
Yeah.
There's a reason, and some people might like want to ask themselves, like, why do you think it is that this woke shit is so dominant? Like, why is it? We ask, like I almost want to ask some of the hardcore left-wing activists. You go, why do you think it is? If what you think, right, is that this whole system is white supremacy and you're taking down the system, why does the system love you so much? Why does the entire corporate press love wokeism? Why does the entire political establishment, short of Trump and a few exceptions, love wokeism? Why does professional sports? Why are these big corporations behind you? Why is Hollywood behind you? Like, why would they all be agreeing with you if you were a threat to the system that's made them so wealthy? And here's the thing. They fucking love wokeism for this very basic reason, okay? It's basically their way of buying off the left, which they think is the biggest threat to them, and probably is. So if you're – look how they reacted when fucking Bernie Sanders looked like he was going to win the nomination, both in 2016 and in 2020. They freaked the fuck out because this wasn't a woke guy. This was an economic socialist. He wasn't coming out there saying, I want you to apologize for your white privilege. He was saying, I want your money. Hey, big corporations, I want – now, if you were –
he was also talking about prison reform and not just like,
but that's the same
fuck
thing.
You, whitey.
But that's the same thing. That's fucking with their money. This is what they make money from. He's talking about fucking really – I want your shit.
He was like, well, how do we get it so that less black people are in these poor communities? How do we help the poor communities so that
really
they're not targeted?
What he really hated about the private prison system was people were profiting off of this shit.
So they're more
incentivized.
That's
what Bernie Sanders hates in general. He doesn't like profits. Now, that's a fucking threat to a big corporation. You don't like profits. Holy shit. Profits are kind of our game. And by the way, don't get me wrong. I'm not a fucking left-wing socialist. I have no problem with profits. I'm just saying, if you were a big banker or a fucking, some huge corporation or the corporate press or Hollywood or any of these types of people, who's the big threat to you? Well, as much as I'd love it to be anarchist libertarians like me, there's not too many of us. So it's not really us. The big threat to you is the left, who fucking doesn't really like rich people, doesn't really think there should be multimillionaires when other people are poor. Doesn't.
Right.
So what they love about wokeism is they don't have to give up any of their fucking money or power or anything. All they have to do, Morgan Chase is like, hey, we're sending all of our white execs to diversity training. Because now they can go, okay, so we bought off the left. We bought you off, and now we don't have to give you shit. We get to keep our record high profits, but hey, we'll put BLM on a fucking billboard.
The left is the party of the gesture, is something I saw.
Well, this is how they've been able to corrupt the left. It's kind of a right-wing takeover of a left-wing cause. And the leftists should be able to see this. Like, JP Morgan Chase isn't supposed to be on your team, motherfucker. Like, none of these people are supposed to be on your team. Why do you think they are? Because they're not giving you anything real. And when you say, don't call it police brutality, call it systemic racism, well, guess what you're not going to end now? Police brutality. But guess what you'll get? No more Aunt Jemima.
Right.
Congratulations. You fucking – now –
change the name of this thing. Some statue of some guy you'd never even heard about. You found out later was a slave owner and then like, well, now it's down. Good. Something I didn't care about 2 days ago and I cared about yesterday is now no longer a problem.
I was talking to this dude, fucking Maj Touré, on the phone. He's like – he's fucking great, dude. He's like a Philly dude. He's a libertarian. He's this black dude and he runs like a pro-Second Amendment like for black people. It's called Black Guns Matter. Really smart dude. And we were talking on the phone. It was really making me laugh where he was like, dude – can I tell you how much I don't care about statues? Like he goes, I got friends in jail, man, who didn't do anything violent. Like I got friends in jail for weed. I got friends in jail for coke. Like they were just selling a little bit of drugs. They didn't do anything violent. He goes, could I have like two of my friends back? He goes, if I could get two of my friends back, I'll build a statue of a slave owner. Like, I don't care about statues. As there's something about it really made me laugh the way he said it. But it's like, see, that's the fucking issue right there, is that if you make it broad, then it's easy to throw you token gestures that mean nothing.
There was two things that Kamala Harris did over in this time during COVID and Black Lives Matter. During COVID, she goes, once we get to, I think, 100,000 deaths, She started a fight over it. I think we should fly the flag at half mast. And the right wing is like, no, we only fly the flag at half mast during a war or during a whatever. And so then it's a fight. So she can say, I'm on the right side of it. You don't care about COVID victims. And it's like, can you guys shut the fuck up and get a cure or get some more testing? And the other one was, let's all dress in daishikis for the Black Lives Matter on the floor of Congress. Do you remember that? It's like three black senators, and it's like they got dressed in African garb, by the way. Not American garb.
Yeah.
African garb. And, I mean, they should put on fucking Lakers jerseys or fucking at least dress like Crisscross. Yeah. And so it's this gesture instead of actually in the place of actually doing anything, and the people that support them are like, sweet, you made the gesture. And if someone else is actually helping you but doesn't make the gesture, we don't like that as
much. That's right. And then nobody can even have an honest conversation.
You can't even have an honest conversation.
And the other thing that they fucking love, and this is part of the reason why it's spread so much, is that the establishment loves the rules of, like, you can't step out of bounds and say the wrong thing or you get ruined. Mm-hmm. They love that. Rulers always love that. Rulers also love pitting people against each other and convincing them to rat on each other and shit like that. Yeah. That's, like, a big fucking thing that, like, authoritarians use. Because if you guys are all fighting each other and pissed off against each other, then you don't really look up and see who's really screwing you over, which are the people ruling over
you. The top.
And so if you fucking, you know, and then if you're afraid to ever step out of line and say something that, like, is unpopular, then, you know, no one's ever going to really question you. So it's like this perfect fucking situation. And that's why they love this shit. So they can buy you off with gestures and you get nothing.
One of my favorite things was all the people posting the black squares. And a lot of those people were then, like, on someone's radar. So it's like, let's look into this guy's past. He posted that he protects us, he supports us. And it's like, turns out 18 years ago, you had a black friend in grade school and you didn't invite him to your birthday party, you know, or whatever it is, or it's even something serious. But it's like, it almost put a target on everybody just to even be part of it. Here's something I want to get involved in. There's two more things that we got to do.
All right. What do we got here? 7:20.
I know.
We got Skanks in 40 minutes.
We are more divided than we've ever been in this country.
Yeah, no.
And
question.
I need to know why. And then I feel like we got to get to this fucking Trump-Harris. Biden shit.
All right, maybe we'll have to add a little bit to this. Maybe we'll have to fucking figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so...
The environment, we can leave till next time. QAnon, we can leave. But, like, those two things we got to fucking get to.
Okay.
Julian Assange will still be in jail in a year.
Well, if he's alive,
yeah.
Jesus, he's not doing well. Okay, so we're more divided than we've ever been.
We are at each other's throats over stuff we agree on.
In our lifetimes, we're more
divided.
That
I've never seen it.
I mean, we fought a civil war in this country at one point, so that's pretty divided.
Sort of. It was North versus South. If it was today, the South would be at each other's throats, and the North would be at each other's throats.
There is – the thing about it is, right, is that
– how dare you, fellow liberal New Yorker, not be as liberal a New Yorker as I am?
Yeah. Well, it is. There's no question. It's gotten really, really bad. And this is. I wish people would think some of this shit through. I mean, I don't know if you've seen, like, out in Portland where they've had, like, these kind of like, it's like militias kind of facing off against each other,
mm-hmm.
and they're almost playing like pretend civil war. I mean, it's not exactly a civil war, but they're kind of flirting. Like, they're playing footsie with a civil war.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're like, guys, this is a really fucking dangerous game to play. Like, this is no joke. And this is not something any of you want. And I think a lot of them don't even realize. Like, it's like, you don't, like, a lot of these people, you have not seen war. And you don't want to. Like, you don't fucking want – I think even some of these, like, left-wing Antifa types, like, you see them when they actually get into these brawls.
It's like and college like, kids.
But it'll almost be like when it comes to it – and this has been going on for years, you know, but, like, when it comes to an actual fight, I'll see these things where there's, like, you know, some they're like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Hey. And you're like, dude, what did you think?
You were playing pretend.
You're putting on a black fucking ski mask and you're holding a baton and you're going out at someone. And then when a fight starts, you're like, whoa, dude.
It was like that Weinstein guy.
I just wanted to bring down the
patriarchy. That Weinstein guy where they're outside his car with baseball bats. Was that his name? Eric Weinstein?
Eric Weinstein was the professor.
Yeah, they're like, get out of your car. And he's like, what are you going to do with that bat? Fucking liberal arts major. Like, oh, get out. But what are you going to do with that bat? What are you hoping? Like, I know this seems like... you care, but like, what are you going to do with that bat? Yeah, you're gonna hit me?
It's very. And then some of them do it.
Some of them do.
Point.
Some of them feel like everyone's looking at me. I better.
Yeah, and then
I'll throw a Molotov cocktail into a police van.
It's a very, very dangerous game, and I think that this has been, this year has been a real kind of like, it's a like a gut check kind of thing for the country.
Yeah.
Like, man, we're sliding down this path and everybody can see it. Mm-hmm. And you're going like, so do you want this? Like, can't, you know, I'm not like a guy like who believes in unity, if that makes sense. I don't think we all have to be one. And I think that sometimes really bad things happen when we're all one, you know? Like,
that's what we were saying. There's no art.
The war in Iraq was really popular. You know what I mean? Everyone came together and said, whoever got us 9/11 are going to fucking pay.
Very few people were like, you might not have been for it, but very few people were like, don't do that.
Well, certainly.
By Syria, we were like, don't do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but initially, like, it was very popular. Like, mm-hmm. a majority of people supported it. So that's not necessarily good. But you can be divided in different ways. Like, you can be divided in a way where you peacefully coexist. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to be at each other's throats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, you don't have to be at war with each other.
But we are.
Right. And part of the reason why we are is because it's an election year and it's all about who's going to control the fucking government at the end of this, and fucking the other people are going to be ruled over by them. Part of it is because the system is unraveling. And part of it is because of social media and things like that. And, like, there's lots of different, you
I think
know,
a lot elements. Of it is this.
Yeah, I think so.
I think a lot of it is people feeling that their opinion matters more because they have 25 followers. So you feel like people follow me and my opinion matters. And I'm not looking to change my opinion because it's called backtracking. And so you make an opinion. And then you have to stick with it, and you find value in the opinion you made already. And then it's like, fuck everyone else who's not this. And also this algorithm, we can walk and keep talking. And this algorithm that lets you only see the people who you care about. So when you go out to where you live, and I saw a Trump banner,
mm-hmm.
you would get vandalized if you had one here.
Yeah.
So people here can't understand that anyone is like that. If you just go 30 minutes outside, people like can't understand how people could live here. We don't see the other side anymore. Colin Quinn, in his last, I saw his last thing. He goes, it used to be, you go in a bar, you're talking to somebody, he's like, well, I bet you're one of those guys that's against gun control, aren't you? And they're like, as a matter of fact, I am. And he goes, it used to be like, let's have a drink.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. Where it's like, fuck this guy forever on this issue.
Yeah, no, that definitely
has. It's very distressing to me
for
this country.
I notice it like just in my own, you know, life and comedy, and that, like, it's really changed since I started, where it used to be kind of like, even like, you know, like the person you mentioned before, like years ago, you know, 7-8 would be kind of interested in what I thought.
Yeah.
Would ask me.
Cool person.
What I thought. Kind of knew that I knew a lot about politics, and would go like, so what do you think about what
you're a valuable source.
Did
yeah.
with this? Like, you kind of know. And I may not agree with you, but you'll probably have an interesting perspective mm-hmm. on this. What do you think? And I'd say something, and they kind of be like, all right, I see what you're saying, you know? But it wasn't like we have to hate each other. Now it's like we fucking hate each other. Like, it's, and like, I don't want to fucking hate her, but it's like, she's like, I'm a fucking evil person. People have to be put into these camps, you know, like, you're in this camp and that's the enemy camp.
The only real camp is a concentration camp. Okay, no.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, that's, but you know, humans can be put in those too.
Sometimes
so it's
we
not
make
so good.
Right. No, I find myself falling prey to it also.
You didn't dose me, right?
I did not dose you.
Good. I just realized I took a drink from you. I'm not supposed to.
I mostly don't dose. Almost all the drinks I pour, except
mostly,
for two.
The mostly
yeah.
peaceful
except for two drinks. I poured thousands of drinks. Only two have been I'm a non-doser, really. I'm a guy who doesn't dose almost consistently. But I find myself, if I'm like, oh, that guy voted for Trump, let's say, and I live in this bubble here.
Right.
Part of me, even though I know better, even though I know there's like Hasidic Jews, like I only voted for him for Israel. But if I hear about somebody I don't know voted for him, I immediately go, he put all these things on that person that aren't even true.
Well,
and I'm like, what am I falling into it for? They just read different news stories than I did.
Yeah, but a lot of it's like, look, it's. I'm not saying like the social media stuff and people having a following. I'm not saying that doesn't have like a major factor. But I also do feel like this shit is being pushed.
Being
pushed by the corporate press, like all over the place. It's being pushed in universities. It really is pushed on people. The idea that you that those people over there who don't agree with you don't agree with you because they're evil.
They're evil.
And because they want to destroy you. And that it's not something that we can just have a conversation about. It's not something...
Yeah, this gym is going out of business. So it's not just, I don't care about human life. It's, I do, but also I'm going out of business.
Right.
It's like, can we talk?
But that's a human life also. Right. I care about what's happening to this human
life. Can we
talk?
And they're like, we cannot. The world now is, no, we cannot talk. You're a fucking asshole.
Well,
I'm done with you.
And you saw that a lot during the lockdowns. Where
but even before that, Norm Macdonald said whatever he said about Roseanne and Louis. We're like, they're humans, and I fucking – whatever the victims –
No, what happened – no, you're right. All this shit was there.
He was trying to go on The Tonight Show, and they said cancel him for The Tonight Show. And I was like, no, don't we want to hold him to the fire right now and say explain yourself?
Nope.
They said, no, we'd rather say, fuck you, get away.
They'd rather cancel him. And this was, so all of this stuff was there, and then a real crisis hit this year, and it all got dialed up, and it kind of got exposed. You know, it's kind of like if you, to use almost the virus analogy, but if you're very unhealthy and then you get a virus, well, now all that shit is exposed, and it fucking, that's what ends up killing you, you know?
Right.
But so if you look even like during the lockdowns, I was going to say, when that thing like, oh, you just want to get a haircut? Became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, the people. It's like, oh, so you'd rather grandma dies so you can get a haircut. And you're like, dude.
No, I don't want that, you idiot.
I'm not talking about getting a haircut. I'm talking about what I said before. I'm talking about the guy who's got three kids and fucking just lost his job and is terrified of how he's going to pay for that. That's what I'm talking about. So don't make it this bullshit. And all I'm saying
everyone's
is that
a bullshitter, too.
Look, there's a real thing where part of the reason why people are so... I don't know. I don't know if there's been polling on this or not. But I bet if you were to ask people, if you were to poll people, do black people get shot – do black people get killed by the police more than white people? A large percentage of people would say yes,
mm-hmm.
even though it's not the case. And actually twice as many white people get killed by black people. Now, you can the disproportionality thing, that's a
fair the other way
point.
Would happen too. When you ask some people – do most protests turn to riots? You'd also get a way higher percentage of people say yes.
But I'm just – but sure.
But go ahead.
I agree
with
that. But the point I'm making is that, well, why is it that people would think that more black people are getting killed by the cops than white people? Well, part of it is because those are the ones that get media attention. They love to push the narrative when it's something that's going to pit people against each other and inflame racial tensions. Now, listen, even if you're going to argue, which is a fair point, there's a lot there, but if you're going to argue, well, black people are disproportionately killed to their, population size by the cops, fine. But it happens twice as much to white people. So you would think you would hear about it twice as much happening to white people.
That guy.
But it's not
kneeled on his neck. Kneeled on his neck for 19 minutes.
So why is it that you never hear stories about this in the press? And And I think a lot of that's because they like I was saying with the woke shit, they like it being a racial issue. If they showed the black people getting killed and then showed the white people getting killed, that would be much more likely that black people and white people would join together and go, hey, fuck the cops. But instead of that, they make it a white versus black or a left versus right thing. And so I'm not saying it's happening to some degree organically, but it's also like people being manipulated, like to kind of push people against each
other.
It's
a strange thing, too, where people like – it's like, hey, can you help me out? Tell you what, we're going to walk and talk. Just three more minutes, and then we're just going to walk and keep going. Just off video.
Okay.
Just audio for the last half hour.
Sure, you can do that.
There's this thing that happens where it's like – your grandfather was like, this Oriental guy moved in next to me. Now you have two options at that point. You can say, hey, grandpa, I get it. It's actually Asian now. The Oriental has, I don't know where, kind of like Negro has become a bad term when it was a great term. And he'd be like, what? When I was young, it's like, I know, dude, but it's not just like they're trying to change you. People will literally get really mad at you.
Yeah.
So just say Asian. Oh, all right, I'll do my best. I'm like, okay, great. Well, the other option is my grandfather's a racist. Well, I guess there's one guy I can cut out of my life. And
or
we had this thing of like –
there's also an option where you just say nothing and roll your eyes and go, yeah, that's my grandpa.
Yeah, he's always not going to change.
Like, whatever.
So where – we have this feeling now in America, and I don't know about other countries, of like, I want to feel better than someone.
Yeah.
So I don't want to change the world and make it a better place. I want to feel good about myself. And the way I feel good is that you are not equal to me. You are – racist. You are misogynist. And if you're not racist and misogynist, then where's my power?
Yeah. Well, but look, I think that a lot of this comes from, like, the fucking education system in this country just being an absolute failure. And it's much easier for people who aren't educated and are dumb, because you don't have to know anything in order to be outraged over someone for saying the wrong word. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the benefits of it. You don't have to know anything. You can, and that's like the person we were talking about before there too. This is what's great. You don't have to know anything, and you still get to be morally superior. Yeah. And you don't even have to crack a book. Like, you don't. And so there's that. But I also just think that a lot of things in America, in the American system, are spinning out. And I mean before all of this year and the culture war and all that shit. I mean the fucking, you know, like the wars that we can't win, the budget that we can't balance, the borders that we can't control, the fucking so many things. And so it's like, well, they're getting pretty worried that there are these uprisings against the establishment. And there's been a lot. You know, like over the last, say, like 10, 15 years, there's been a lot. So, there were those huge anti-war protests under George W. Bush. There was the Occupy movement. There was the mm-hmm. Tea Party movement. The Black Lives Matter movement. There was Ron Paul's campaigns, Bernie Sanders. It's
like, hey,
campaigns.
You guys ain't fucking doing it.
Trump is the president. You know, there's a lot of anger.
Anti-establishment.
And so what would you maybe want to do if you were one of the ruling elite?
Get them fighting.
Get them fighting each other. Because your neighbor is right in reach.
Yeah.
You know, you could hate your neighbor, and you could fight your neighbor, and you could maybe even beat your neighbor.
But you ain't going to Washington.
But the CEO of Chase or the fucking president of the United States, and fucking, yeah, you're probably not getting that guy.
So there's some, I know you don't care that much for Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, but like,
I don't think that's a person.
I used to not,
Ocasio-Cortez.
I don't know names, but I used to not care for her that much. And I was also getting half truths from the media headlines. Something she said really got me when it was mid May, early May, something like that. And they're like, hey, we've got to get people back to work. That's our goal here, is get people back to work. And then she goes, no. You guys got it wrong. We're not supposed to go back to working 60 hours a week to barely getting by. We're supposed to redo the system so we can enjoy our lives, we can spend time with our family and friends, and we can work a normal amount. You guys are trying to get us back into a system that has not represented us for a long time. Well, and I'm like, yeah, lady. Yeah, fucking, that is dead on.
There is definitely something to that. And then, of course, the question becomes like, okay, well, what are you
just
proposing?
That point. Just that,
no,
point.
That point is reasonable. And yeah, I think that there's definitely something to that. And there's something to the fact that Americans, you know, a lot of Americans today, despite all the economic growth and all the technological advancement, are in a situation where they're struggling to meet these very basic costs of housing, healthcare, education.
You said this to me years ago on this podcast, State of the Union, where it's like, when I grew up, when you grew up, it was a single parent worked, and we had this level of wealth right here. And now, both parents work in almost every household, and we have this level of wealth.
Well,
what is going on?
We have a lot more wealth, and I don't want to like
this level
misrepresent
of, yeah.
that, right? Because we are much wealthier depending on how you measure wealth. But we're much more. We have much better stuff. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like much
yeah.
better stuff.
iPhones are better than fucking flip
yes.
phones, but
and our TVs are better. Our refrigerators are better. Our cars are better. There are better things. Okay.
Yeah, but that TV, that massive TV there, is no longer $3,000. It's $250.
Yes.
So I can only afford a $250 thing, and we're doubling up the work.
Well, right. But the other thing is that like you. The very basic cost. So like when my grandfather worked and my grandmother was like stayed at home and raised the kids, there was never a concern. Like he owned a house. He sent his kids to college. Actually, my mother paid for her own college, but she could do it with a summer job. It wasn't a big expense. Health insurance, things like this were not concerns because even when they didn't have health insurance, you know, medical costs just weren't that high.
Right.
So right now, these very basic costs are through the roof. Now, I would blame all of this on the Federal Reserve and inflation and how they've inflated
Okay, but
up
something's
prices.
Off.
But there's no question something's off there. And so, yes, I do agree that most Americans, and this is what the fucking Democrat establishment doesn't get. They think Trump's just the aberration, and if we could just go back to Biden, then everything goes back to normal because the only problem was these last 4 years. But the truth is that's not the issue. The fucking issue was something much, much deeper than that, that bubbled up. People elected Barack Obama because they thought he was going to be like a change agent, and he wasn't.
Hope change.
And yeah, and they didn't get that out of him.
Well, I saw in the DNC, we'll talk about the politics on the way to the stand, the Democratic National Convention, Michelle Obama spoke, She was speaking about how we have to defeat Trump. That seems like the policy.
Speech drove me crazy.
Yeah. And she goes, and I don't know, we can say it together, but like, she was like, listen, he's an awful man. He's literally separating families on the border, putting people in cages. And then the AP, not a weird source, the Associated Press, which is, doesn't seem to be biased. I don't really know enough about them, but they seem like they're just the press, had to do a correction. And they go, your husband built those and put them into play.
Yeah.
It wasn't Trump started those. Your husband built those.
Well, that's right. And they love to like kind of morally grandstand. I mean, her fucking husband, you know, literally should be tried for war crimes and convicted. Her husband.
It's this party that fucking, people don't
this
understand.
This idea that, oh, this guy's so evil. But I got to say, just on the more cultural shit, the thing that drove me crazy about Michelle Obama's speech that just really, really bothered me. And I think it kind of touches on the same thing as the celebrities were all in this together. It's like, this is the thing in America. It's like the fucking elites. Like, Michelle Obama gets up there and starts talking about how racist the country is. And then she goes, now I know a lot of people won't like what I'm saying. I mean, after all, I'm a black woman. So she immediately goes, oh, if you don't like what I'm saying, well, here's why. Because you're a racist sexist. And you're literally, you're like talking to this country about how racist they are. They elected your husband twice. Okay? You're worth $50 million.
You're an example of how that's not racist.
You're broadcasting from your Mar-a-Lago, like, $20 million home, and you're sitting here telling the country how racist. This country has made you a humongous success. I mean, like, and then to get on here, and who are you talking to? You're talking to some white guy who's, like, a trucker who makes, like, you know, $50K a year, and telling him about how, you know, like, oh, I know you may not like what I'm saying because you're just this evil person, and I'm black woman. So, but, and it's like, man, fuck you. Like, fuck you. And fuck your husband for fucking destroying Syria, Libya, and Yemen. Tell me about the kids and fucking borders at the fucking facilities he built.
It is funny. It is funny. Oh, my God.
It's really just hard. And, like, how do you expect people to, like, listen
to
this?
Yeah, how are we going
to
get involved in this?
It's like if you
And then someone like, do you even care?
Yeah, like, it's like how, like, and then, like, the people, and Trump, part of the Trump phenomenon is a big reaction to this. It's like, people are so fucking sick.
It's like when Joe Pesci tries to act like a tough guy. You're like, dude, you're not actually a mafioso. You're an actor.
Right.
You're a theater fag.
Yeah.
So like, you're not a tough guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, like, I think there's something about that that people are really upset about in the country is like the idea that they're like the idea that you're being lectured to by some multimillionaire in Hollywood about what you need to do, how you need to suck it up and you need to tighten your belt a little bit, you know, says Ellen. You're like, that, get the fuck out of here.
Remember that billboard was on Sunset after Bush got elected the first or second year, I forget. And it just shows eight celebrities, Ben Affleck, the dude who made Michael Moore, all those people. And it goes, thank you, these celebrities, for coming out against George Bush and helping him get elected.
Wow.
For talking down to people. So people go like, hey, fuck off. Don't tell me how to feel, fucking rich person.
And it's never done with like the fucking, like the air of kind of like, hey, look, I know I'm just an actor, but like this is my take and do with that what you will. It's always kind of like, I am moral authority. It's like, well, no, you're fucking not, Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
You're not.
We went from, there was a commercial saying, we'll leave right after this. Don't
okay,
use,
no, no problem.
Don't use the word retard, right? Retard's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we went from a commercial, which is one of those ABC Family or teen boppers, maybe Sabrina the Teenage Witch, might have been her. She was just in a school, this is the commercial, and somebody's saying like, tell that retard to shut up. He's like, hey, we don't say that. Guys, when you use the word, and speaking to the cameras, when you use the word retard, it actually puts a certain percentage of people down. Even if then it's not them, they have brothers and sisters. And it's like, it just makes them feel bad. So let's not do that. Went from that, which is an educational type of commercial, to, hey, fuck you. This guy said it. Get him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's weird. I don't know how this is going to end, dude. It's not good.
And the weird thing about that is that it's a 180 degree turn in terms of like what you're doing here. Because you went from being like, hey, we're against, you know, some people being marginalized and being fucked over by society to being like, we want to marginalize and fuck over people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, now you've taken on all the energy. And unfortunately, it says something kind of dark about the human condition, which is just basically that it's like people are either going to be the ones dominating someone else or the ones getting dominated.
I think that's a human condition thing.
And this,
you're right.
By the way, I think is at the core of what the alt-right was basically saying and doing. And the alt-right movement has kind of fizzled out at this point, but it was a big deal in like 2017, you know, or at least it was made to be a big deal. But I think they were basically like this group of white people who were like, well, look, we see the handwriting on the wall here. We're either going to be the ones dominating like we've been, or we're about to get dominated. So we want to dominate.
There's
fuck
no,
that.
Right.
There's no middle
ground. There's no hands across
there's,
America.
Yeah, there's no equality. Fuck that bullshit. I'm listening to what these leftists are telling us, and they're telling us now it's time to put the boot on your neck. Well, if the boot's going to be on my neck or your neck, I'd rather your neck. So fuck you, and that's what I represent. Now, that is misguided and fucked up and evil in a lot of ways.
But it's not completely wrong.
Yeah, right. Like, there's something to it. And by the way, if you hated the fucking alt-right so much, hardcore leftists, stop proving them right at every turn. Like, stop, like, trying to make their case for you. If you wanted to gain more sympathy for the alt-right, all you have to do is listen to some hardcore SJWs. And you go like, okay, I kind of get what they're saying. Now give me a whole bunch of shit for that one, Twitter.
You just got to get off Twitter. That's the worst one. All right, let's take a walk.
All right.
I'm going to stop this and we're going to start again as soon as we get downstairs. Everybody, that's it. That's not it, though. That's not it. That was part one. What if I go up here? Is that too high? Yes, it is. Part one of two. We got a lot of shit left to talk about. We ran out of time. It took a while to get in. It took a fucking long while to find parking. Parking in New York. I mean, the fact that I thought I wouldn't need a garage. And if you don't know what a garage costs more than the lease on your car costs. I got to figure something out. I'm going to die if I have to keep driving around. Sometimes it's easy. And then sometimes you just drive and drive and drive. And after like 40 minutes, you're like, I'm going to fucking kill somebody. You guys, that's the episode. But it's only part one. David and I are going to figure out a time this week to meet again. And to do another 3 to 4 hours to finish off this whole fucking state of this goddamn union. It is a shit show out there. I really, really want to talk about how out of each other's throats everybody is. I got to watch that movie, The Social Experiment. I've talked to people about it. I talked to Sagalow about it, Brendan Sagalow. He'll be on this podcast soon. And we were just talking. I was like, I haven't seen it yet. And I was like, do they ever bring this up? Do they ever bring this up? And he goes, dude, it sounds like you've seen it because it's like everything you've said was in that movie. It's just shit. I assume everything that I've been talking about for the last few years. About how dangerous and awful fucking social media is. And the internet in general and all the algorithms and stuff. But we're going to get to that in the next episode. We're going to get to that in episode next episode. Don't forget, I'm in New Jersey. The Stress Factory, October 9th, 10th, and either the 8th or the 11th. I forget which is the other one. But it's on there. It's on there. I just forgot. I should look it up. This is twice now I promoted it and I've forgotten. What the fucking real I think it's the 11th, and then I thought I wasn't gonna be around the 8th, so I said, can you do 9th, 10th, 11th instead? Guys, this is boring information. The point is, that's the episode. Don't forget to check out Dave Smith's podcast, Part of the Problem. He's on there. I think he does like 3 episodes a week. It's all political shit. I gotta go on there once just to talk about my apathy with all this stuff, because at some point I really don't care. You ever be talking to somebody about something political and you're just like, actually, can we just stop fighting? I actually don't care about that subject at all. So I want to talk about that, about what happened, what turned me, and maybe some of you, into completely apathetic members of the society. Yeah, hope you guys enjoyed. God, it was such an interesting conversation. What's interesting, too, is we did 3 hours on this podcast where we talked about really divisive stuff, you know, the handling of the corona situation. I have elderly parents, you know, that I worry about with this. I have friends who are smokers, heavy smokers, and I worry about them. And so we sort of differ a little bit on how seriously we take it and what we think should be done. For sure, you heard that. And then the Black Lives Matter thing, it's like, I also think there's some differences. And I'm gonna reiterate on some of this stuff. And I think this will be cool to have a two-parter too, because it'll give us a chance to be like, hold on, I wanted to clarify something about the last episode. I think what happens too is like, you just go, hey, by the way, this one thing. And you're like, but also these three other things. Like, yeah, I just didn't mention those. What I'm saying doesn't make sense. Anyway, we can clarify some stuff. There's some things in, like, especially Black Lives Matter, where it's not just about deaths. I think the COVID situation, too, is that. I don't want to lose my sense of smell for fucking... I know people that haven't gotten it back. Their sense of smell is just gone. That's not like, oh, it came and went. It's like, I want my sense of smell. I like it. Although in New York in the summer, it's not the best thing to have. What does that smell? Is that a homeless person? No, it was a homeless person. He's dead. That smell is rot. You thought rat piss was bad. Yeah, anyway, but we did a 3-hour talk and disagreed mildly here or there, and we talked through it, didn't have a problem at all, and then we went to Legion of Skanks and we got into a fucking legit screaming match over the movie Cuties. good times. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the part one of this thing. I'm going to reward myself by smoking something. I don't want to get demonetized on this. There's no way this podcast does not get demonetized. I mean, already, right? Right? This doesn't look like me. It's just this, right? It's just this. If you're watching YouTube, does this look like me? Like, right? Doesn't it? Yeah, with this divisive shit we said in here, there's no way. It's not just going to be cursing or doing drugs or anything. It's going to get demonetized for sure. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the episode. Check out Dave's. Like I said, I'm part of the problem. My stuff, you can find me here on YouTube and your RSS feed. I have a podcast called R.H. Shapiro's Skeptic Tank that you're listening to right now. Please tell some friends about it. I also have another podcast called Sixth and Jump, which is more fun and ridiculous. We're no longer allowed on YouTube because they just kept taking us down for copyright shit. So we're on Patreon. Patreon.com/sixth and jump. Six spelled either way, with a 6th or with S-I-X-T-H. They both point to the same spot. And I don't know, for $5 a month. If you get in there also before the end of September, you get a free bonus episode of Murder, She Wrote. A live watch along with us that we're going to plan in October of Murder, She Wrote. But that's only if you join our Patreon before the end of September. So, and then my Patreon, Ari Shaffir, or Skeptic Tank. Well, I have extra shit on there. My friend asked me, like, why don't you do more interviews on there? I'm like, I can't get it. Just so you guys know, I can't have somebody come in for a fucking hour and a half interview that way, way less people are going to see it. You know, that's my only reason. You know, on Patreon, it's like, what, it's fucking 1,500 people, 1,200 people. I'm trying to get up to 2,500. But here on the RSS feed and the YouTube, it's fucking millions and millions here every single episode. Subscribe on YouTube, by the way, if you don't mind. Hit subscribe. Please subscribe. I'm trying to get up to 100,000 followers if I can do that, or subscribers if I can do that, right? Then, I don't know, everything will be easier. That's my goal for YouTube. So, guys, let's do it. We're done. Ari Shaffir, now I got to choose the fucking music. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic, episode 401. The 2020 State of the Union Address, part one, with Dave Smith, over and out. There's no way I pressed record on that, did I? I did! Here goes.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Columbus is the capital of Ohio. There's Montgomery, Alabama, south of Helena, Montana. Then there's Denver, Colorado, and Boise, Idaho. Texas has Austin, then we go north to Massachusetts, Boston, and Albany, New York. Tallahassee, Florida, and Washington, D.C. Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Nashville, Tennessee. Elvis used to hang out there a lot, you know. Trenton's in New Jersey, north of Jefferson, Missouri. You got Richmond in Virginia, South Dakota has Pierre. Harrisburg's in Pennsylvania, and Augusta's up in Maine. And here is Providence, Rhode Island, next to Dover, Delaware. Concord, New Hampshire, just up with Jaunt. To Montpelier, which is up in Vermont. Hartford's in Connecticut, so pretty in the fall. And Kansas has Topeka, Minnesota has St. Paul. Juneau's in Alaska, and there's Lincoln in Nebraska, and it's Raleigh out in North Carolina, and then there's Madison, Wisconsin, and Olympia in Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, and Lansing, Michigan. Here's Honolulu, Hawaii's a joy, Jackson, Mississippi, and Springfield, Illinois, South Carolina with Columbia down the way, and Annapolis and Maryland on Chesapeake Bay. They have wonderful clam chowder. Cheyenne is in Wyoming, and perhaps you make your home in Salt Lake City out in Utah where the buffalo roam. Atlanta's down in Georgia, and there's Bismarck, North Dakota, and you can live in Frankfurt in your old Kentucky home. Salem in Oregon, from there we join Little Rock in Arkansas, Iowa's got Des Moines, Sacramento, California, Oklahoma, and its city, Charleston, West Virginia, and Nevada, Carson City. That's all the capitals there are.
I'm so sorry. You failed to put your response in the form of a question.